from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
One, two, three.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Roz.
Yes.
And Mochas.
It's Roz and Mochas. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
Thank you, Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
Amazing! Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Maury, you want to come in here for a sec? Mocha, do you have a pen over there?
I do. Always.
Yeah,
okay,
baby.
Maury, do you have a pen?
Yes.
You do?
Talking, yeah, I do. Yeah.
You're prepared? Okay, cool. Somebody sent us through a riddle.
Oh.
Oh, God.
That.
Boy, it's like I lost my pen.
Sorry, no pen. Here, Maury, I have another one for you.
No. Okay.
Don't you even worry. So they sent this through as a request to find out how Maury would do with it. But I know, Mocha, you love these as well.
Okay.
Okay, so Maury, are you ready? You got your pen?
Yes.
You got your thinking cap on?
No, but go ahead.
Okay. A couple who has five sons went for a picnic. Each son has seven sisters. Each sister has three babies. In total, how many people went for the picnic?
Okay.
Okay, so five sons, picnic, seven sisters, seven babies.
Hmm.
No.
Each son has seven sisters. Each sister has three babies.
Oh, three babies.
Hold on.
Okay.
So, five. Start again.
Okay.
A mother and father.
Okay. A couple who has five sons went for a picnic.
They each have five son. Sons. Yeah.
Each son has seven sisters.
Yes.
Each sister has three babies. In total, how many people went for the picnic?
Oh my God! So that's seven.
My God.
17.
Okay, Mocha's buzzed in with his guess of 17.
5 sons.
29 people went for a picnic.
Holy cow.
Okay, Maury. Okay, so talk us through this, Maury.
Okay, because there's two adults.
Yes.
And then five sons.
Right.
Five. It's seven right there.
Right.
Yeah, they
and
got then, your fingers.
and then there were seven sisters. So that seven and seven is whatever that.
Is whatever what? What
do seven, you mean? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So that's 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then each sister has three babies. So then you have to add the three babies to each one of those sisters, which brings you to 29. That's a lot of babies.
Okay. So you got...
It's not 29 babies.
No, but 29 people, but still there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17 babies. Okay. That's like a lot of strollers.
So hold on here. So Maury, if there's seven sisters and each sister had three babies, that equals what? 17?
Seven. So hold on.
Bro, your math is way off.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 babies.
Okay. So Maury, what's your final number?
29.
29. Incorrect.
I was worried about that.
Mocha, were you though?
That's what you were worried about?
Also, who's going to feed the babies?
Okay, yeah, that's a lot of babies to feed on one picnic.
17.
Mocha, incorrect.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Hold on.
Okay,
let's figure this out. So there's two parents.
Let me read this one more time.
A couple. You said a couple, not parents.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's not a trick.
Okay, a couple who has five sons went for a picnic. Each son has seven sisters.
Oh, crap.
Each sister has three babies. In total, how many people went for the picnic?
Okay, but here's the one trick I figured out.
What?
So where you said each son has seven sisters, it's not like each son has their own seven sisters.
Why would that be?
Why wouldn't it be?
No, why would that be?
Because the way you said it.
Son.
But I saw right through that, mister.
Okay. Wow, you
each
got me, Maury.
Son has seven sisters.
Which yes. they're all brothers, so they're still only seven sisters.
Right.
But now we have to figure out why there's 17 babies.
Right.
Okay, hold on.
Loud picnic.
Okay, a couple and they got five sons.
Right.
Each son has seven sisters. So that's where the trick is.
Yes.
The seven sisters.
Each son.
So is it sisters. Each son only has one sister? No, but each son has seven sisters.
No,
is there only one sister?
No. Each son has seven sisters. It's not the sun in the sky.
It's not the sun in the sky.
No, I just want to make sure that it's not a trick question about sun, S-O-N versus S-U-N.
So, like, the sun in the sky would have seven sisters?
No, I just wanted to throw that out there.
You just cover your bases?
Okay. But what if it's a cloudy day?
Okay, let's go. Wow. Okay. Okay, let's go through and find the things that we know. This is how you solve these problems.
There was
okay.
a picnic.
Okay, we know there was a picnic.
Yes.
Okay.
We know that there is a couple.
We know that there's a couple.
That's two right there.
Yes.
Yes.
We know that there are five sons.
Correct.
So that's seven right there.
Right.
Yes.
And each son has yes. seven sisters.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that there are actually seven females, right?
Sure, let's say it does. Yes. Okay. And then each sister has three babies. So let me read this for you right now.
Okay.
And you guys figure out things that we definitely know.
Okay.
A couple who has right. five sons yeah. went on a picnic.
So there's two people and then five sons and they went on a picnic. So right there, we know that there are seven people sitting around a picnic table.
Oh,
do you know that for sure though?
Well, it might have been a mat.
A couple.
Yeah, okay. I think I figured it out. Okay. Start again.
A couple who has five sons went on a picnic.
Yes.
Maury, what do we know?
Oh, hold on, I'm drawing. Okay, a couple.
A couple who has five sons went on a picnic.
Yes. Read the whole thing. I think I got it figured out.
A couple who has five sons went on a picnic.
Yeah.
Each son has seven sisters.
Yeah.
Each sister has three babies.
Yeah.
In total, how many people went on the picnic?
Two.
Correct.
What? Say it again.
A couple it's who has two. Five sons went on a picnic.
Yeah.
Each son has seven sisters.
Oh,
each sister has three babies.
Okay, Mocha, like he shed some light onto this here.
No, he answered the right answer.
Yeah.
Right, so he shed some light onto the answer
okay.
by saying to me, so the couple went on a picnic. We're just getting to know their family. It doesn't mean everyone went on the picnic.
Who's getting to know anyone?
Like, the answer is two.
The answer is
yeah,
two.
Because we don't need, they're just telling us who they are. But the couple went on a picnic. They happen to also have this sons and 29 babies or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Also cloudy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
When you leave the house, make your way out in the world. Yeah. I don't mean like in life when you're 18.
Oh.
I just mean daily.
Yes.
What are some of the things that you can think of that instantly stress you out throughout your day?
Throughout my day?
Yeah. After you've left the house.
Yeah.
You've left the house, and then throughout the day, what are some of the things that you can think of and they instantly stress you out? I'll give you an example. Did I leave the stove on?
Oh, okay. That I don't lock the door, the front door.
Yeah, that's number one.
Is it?
Yep.
Getting splashed by a puddle.
No, oh. I mean, no.
Like by a car when it goes by.
Okay. Let me.
No, we thought you meant like a random puddle jumps out at you.
Okay, no, let me. Okay. Let me explain it to Maury. Everybody else just pause for a second. Okay. I know you understand what I'm talking
yeah.
about. Okay, so Maury.
It's stressful.
Okay.
Shh.
What? No.
A puddle.
No. When you leave the house.
Yes, it's not going to splash you inside.
Okay.
Can you let the man finish, please?
When you leave the house, once you've left the house, what are things that you can think of that will immediately stress you out, meaning things that are in the house or have to do with the house?
Oh, did I close my browsers?
Fair enough. Yes. I'm going to give that one to you, Maury, just on a technicality here, because number five on the list is, did I leave a window open?
I don't think it's a cold window.
I don't think they were talking about that window, but I'll give that one to you.
Sometimes so. I have, I plug in my laptop and I have the plug that I use for my laptop.
Yeah.
Is so like destroyed that when you plug it in, it heats up.
Yeah.
So I charge my laptop in like periods of like maybe 10 minutes at a time because the actual plug heats so much.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when I leave, I'm like, oh crap, did I not unplug my my laptop? Because if it heats up too much, it may start a fire.
You're all done. You're gonna burn that house down.
like a half eaten fruit.
You're worried about that. That what? Stresses you out if then, you've left the half-eaten fruit at home.
Wait, because of fruit flies.
Can you explain to me in what situation you would be eating fruit and then be like, "Well, I can't finish this now"?
I believe half.
Like if you left it on the counter or something and you completely forgot it was there, and then by the time you come home,
that
it's infested.
Stresses you out. What a nice life you must have. Mocha just talked about burning his wife and child to the ground while they slept, and you're worried about half a peach. Okay, so here we go with the list. Did I remember to turn on heat or the AC off? Number 9, did I leave the stove or oven on?
Yeah.
Number 8, did I even shut the front door? I've had that before.
Yeah.
Number 7, did I lock the car? Number 6, did I leave the lights on? Number 5, Maury, did I leave a window open, aka browser? Number 4, do we have anything to make for dinner?
And Uber Eats.
Number three, do I have my keys?
Yeah.
Right?
But you won't be able to lock the door if you don't have
your
keys.
If you're
sometimes,
in a rush.
Sometimes doors lock behind you.
You just close the door and then you bounce, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Number 2, do I have my phone?
Yeah.
And number 1, did I lock the front door?
I have.
Also, half a peach.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Yesterday we were talking about what stresses you out once you leave your house, your condo, your place of living.
Yeah, the one thought that you can have once you've left the house that will instantly stress you out. And according to the study, they said that 80% of people have turned back to double check something or unlocked the door and gone back in the house to make sure that they did the thing that they know they did, but they thought maybe there was a chance they didn't. Things on the list that you can think of after you've left the house that immediately stress
you
out.
Like, is the milk bad?
No, I don't think that would stress you out. I would say, did you leave the oven on?
Right.
Is something that would stress you out.
Like, for example, every single time I leave the house and I lock the door, and I know that I lock the door after I take the key out of the lock, I will turn the handle and try to jiggle the door to make sure that I locked it.
Right.
I don't know why I do that.
It's because things become so routine that you'll leave the house, lock the door, and not even realize that you've locked the door. It's just part of a pattern. Your body leaves the house, you turn a certain way, the key goes in the thing. You could be thinking of 9 different things, but you're on autopilot at that point.
We were on the way to the airport once and I had to turn around in an Uber so that Matthew could check the door.
Right,
we weren't sure.
The reason why I bring this up today is because yesterday, after we wrapped up the show, we were still getting texts from people.
Oh, okay.
We're going to call somebody because they wrote in and simply stated, "I have a story about stressing about leaving the house and leaving the window open."
Wow.
Hello.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Megan.
Megan,
nice
so
to meet you.
We got your text.
Yes.
So what happened? You left the house and left a window open?
I did. I used to live kind of out in the middle of nowhere in southwestern Ontario, and my husband was in the GTA working, so I came to visit him for a weekend.
An entire weekend?
I left the house for an entire weekend. I left the house, and I thought after I got to visit my husband, oh no, I left the window open. What am I going to do?
Yeah, which window though?
Well, all of them.
All of them.
and they were calling for rain, and I was stressing. I was up like all night stressing. So my husband got up at like, oh, it's after midnight, and drove 2 hours home, closed all the windows, and then drove 2 hours back.
Oh, so, but you did actually leave the windows open.
I did actually leave the windows open.
See, because normally these are irrational sort of thoughts that we have. When you think, maybe did I leave the oven on? Chances are you did not leave the oven on. When you think, oh my God, did I forget to lock the door? Chances are it's an irrational fear. You 100% did lock the door, but you're on autopilot at that point, and then you just think that maybe you didn't because you don't actually remember doing the physical act of locking a door.
For example, Wendy tweeted us and said the thing that she stresses over is if she turned her hair straightener off.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Or unplugged it.
Right.
That's crazy. Yeah. So all the windows were open. So your nice husband drove 2 hours to go close the windows and then drive two hours back to you.
Yeah. Well, first he spent like 5 hours trying to convince me that I was being irrational. But then he did the drive because he's awesome like that. And it turns out I did leave all the windows open. The problem now, though, is, I mean, this was 6 years ago. Now, every time I leave the house, I'm thinking I'm leaving the windows open again. And, oh, goodness, I probably did because it happened before.
See, Catherine Catherine plays, my girlfriend plays too fast and loose with these types of things, meaning that she will go downstairs and run the bath. Then she'll grab her purse and her coat and leave to go and do something.
Wait, why would she run the bath?
She'll go because she knows how long it takes to fill the tub.
Yeah.
So she'll just go and she'll be like, I just want to go up to the store and grab a salad. So she'll jump in the car and go and grab a salad. I'm like, yeah, but what happens if something happens?
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm home and I'm, because I'm obsessive about this, I'm going to go check on it. Although there's a part of me that wants it to just spill over a tiny little bit.
Oh my God.
Right? Although I would never let that happen. But so she knows roughly how long it takes to fill the tub. So she has no problem cranking the bathtub on, grabbing her keys, going up and grabbing a salad and making it back in time. I'm like, but what if there's like a...
Something. What
if
anything.
What if a pillow truck falls over and like... Nobody can move because it's such a beautiful accident, right? You know what I mean? Everybody's just so comfortable.
Oh,
like, what happens then? But yeah, so she plays fast. She doesn't have that thing. Did I do this? Did I do this? That's all on me. I'm the worrier when it comes to the house.
That causes me stress just listening to that story.
Here, I will. I'll read this to you, Roz, and to you, Megan. As we're talking about this, another text just came in. I just want to say to Roz that him reading about the stressors after leaving the house literally made me want to do a U-turn and go back home to check. I have anxiety, and him reading out that list made me so anxious about everything. All I can picture is my house broken into or being on fire. I am at work now, and this will be in the back of my head all day.
Okay, so here, let's do this for anybody listening right now. Just take a second, listen to us, and we're going to ask you a series of questions. Because if you're at work or in the car right now, are you really sure?
Oh, man, dude, why
are you
do that?
Are you really sure you locked your door? Are you really sure you didn't leave a window open? Positive that you shut off the lights? If you're in your office right now, are you 100% certain that you locked your car?
Oh, man.
I'm 100% certain my husband's at home and I can text him right now to check.
Megan got the answers. Thanks so much, Megan. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Right, yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show
podcast. You can see this, but discreetly look through the window and see what Maury's doing right now. Just discreetly. He's in there dancing. He's watching his computer.
Yeah.
Learning choreography for something.
What?
But I don't know what. Watch him.
Here.
Watch him.
What is he doing?
I don't know. He's learning choreography for something. He's in there dancing, like doing the moves. Like, remember when Napoleon Dynamite would stand in his bedroom and learn the moves? Right? That's what Maury's doing right now in his room.
Wait a minute. Is he trying to learn the Thriller dance?
Can you tell that that's what that is?
I think so. Yes.
Really?
It has to be.
Maury, come in here for a second. What? Come in for a sec.
Maury!
What's going on?
Nothing. What were you doing in there?
Oh, were you seeing me?
Were we seeing you? The room that you're in is enclosed in all glass. Of course we could see you.
Oh.
What were you doing? It may be soundproof, but we can still see through the glass.
What are you doing?
I'm a little under pressure. I have to learn the dance to Thriller by tomorrow.
Nice! I told you! Bro, I've seen that video so many times. I know the Thriller dance when I see it.
I don't. It's like, you kind of have like a twitch
in the
neck.
Why do you have to learn the Thriller? Why are you learning the Thriller dance on our time?
Because I'm stressing out because I somehow agreed to be in a flash mob tomorrow, but I don't remember agreeing to be in a flash mob tomorrow.
But how does that even happen?
I respond to texts when I'm lying in bed half asleep, and I think somebody texted me going, hey, it would be a lot of fun if you were in our flash mob, and I'm pretty sure I just went, okay. And then I got an email when I woke up, here's the link, here's how you practice. I'm like, oh no.
So you have to do the entire Thriller dance? That's a lot of moves, bro.
In front of hundreds of people.
Jeez, the last time Maury texted somebody when he was too tired and really shouldn't have been texting somebody, he had to wax his whole body.
Wait, you had to wax your own body or somebody else's body?
Exactly. You gotta not do that stuff when you're in bed, man. You gotta not take your phone into the bedroom.
Clearly.
Really, that's how you get in trouble. So again, I'm happy that you're doing this. It sounds like a whole lot of fun, but you can't be learning choreography on our time. Okay? Also, Mocha, you are the most amazing person I've ever seen in my life, that you watched Maury waving his arms around and you were like, yep, that's Thriller.
Cool, I got it.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Hi, this is Roz and Mocha.
Hi.
Hey, who's this?
It's Kate. How's it going?
Good. What's going on, Kate?
So, I called into you guys, I'm going to say, a month ago or so, when you guys were talking about slow dating.
Slow dating? The new up and coming.
Do you recall this?
Yeah, which is slow dating. So, the story was that people who are sick of Tinder and online dating are trying this new great thing, which is called slow dating. And what slow dating was meeting somebody in a situation through work or through friends and actually just going out on dates with them. So slow dating was just actually regular dating.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
On this slow dating and tried this slow dating.
Uh-huh.
Last week I tried to call in to say, hey Roz and Mocha, you'd be so proud, I'm slow dating.
You are slow dating? Really?
Oh, no, wait for it. Oh, wait okay. for it. And I still got ghosted.
Oh. That sucks.
Like, how?
So, prior to trying out slow dating, had you tried the online thing and like Tinder and all that stuff?
Oh, God. I've tried everything.
Really?
So,
huh? Damn.
At this point, I'm going to stay in my house and just wait for someone to show up at my door.
No.
Well, you can't do that.
Just come on.
How many guys have you gone through the slow dating process with?
Oh, God. Too many.
Really?
I have done more of the slow dating than I have of the online dating, for sure.
Now, are you the one making the approach to these guys in the public situation, like whether it's at a bar, at a club, or at work, or anything like that?
In the past, probably not. In this situation, yes.
Oh, wow.
In this situation, I did.
Getting ghosted is not a new thing. It's a new term, but it's not a new thing. People have been ghosting each other since the beginning of time.
And
it was actually used to be much easier. I know people think that it's super easy to ghost somebody now. It used to be way easier to ghost somebody, because if you ghosted somebody back in the day, they had no way of finding you.
Yeah.
Social media screws it.
Yeah. Now, as soon as you meet somebody, you know their Insta, you know their Facebook, you know their Twitter handle, you know all that stuff.
Welcoming the world of stalkers.
So, Kate, like, what the hell now? What are you doing?
Right now, I'm driving to work, freezing.
No. With your life, Kate. With your life.
Oh, God. You tell me. I have no freaking clue.
How old are you?
26.
Have you ever been in a long-term relationship?
No, not since high school.
No? How come?
Which sounds terrible. I don't even know if I can give an honest answer on that.
Okay.
I don't know. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Every person I meet is either a psychopath or a psychopath.
Okay. I will say this, and don't take this the wrong way. Whenever I hear somebody say, every person I meet is crazy, or every person I meet is a psychopath, or every guy I date is a jerk, the only thing that all those guys have in common is what?
Me.
Yeah.
I'll renege on that a little. Maybe they're not all psychopaths, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm a psychopath.
No, I'm not saying you're the psychopath. I'm just saying maybe go a little bit easy on yourself and maybe go a little bit easy on other people. You know, dating is a very complicated thing, and I don't know what your expectations are when you get into some of these relationships, but I think you need to be well aware of what the expectations are, and maybe you're asking too much too soon. I don't know. I don't know how you date, but
I mean, I don't think I ask a whole lot at all. As long as they like good food and good wine, I'm pretty easy going.
Yeah. So what's wrong with these guys?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes you can't ever go on a date where you think you're going for all you can eat sushi and then they order one roll and you're like, whoa.
All right, okay. Judgy.
Okay, again, your expectations, you need to sit down and like figure out this stuff. That should not bother you. That should not bother you.
That's true. I mean, it didn't bother me so much until I look back on it now and think, wow, I could have really had an all-you-can-eat experience until I didn't.
Like, that stuff shouldn't bother you that much.
Crap. So we come back to this. It's on me.
No, I don't want to put everything on you. I'm just saying that you just be realistic.
There's a call back in another 6 months when I figure out my life?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Oh my God. Of
Please
course.
Do.
Here's what I think. I think you just need to like chill on the dating thing and just hang out, and that's it.
I can do that.
Right.
Roz, are you gonna be single anytime soon?
Oh damn. Yo, you like Roz?
Yeah.
I want to say like that.
You got that sexy dad look going on. I mean, Mocha, no, I've not got nothing against you either, but...
I did sexy Roz dad before that. Mocha did sexy dad, okay? For the record. For the record.
All right, well...
No is the answer. I should have to... I'm sorry. I can't leave this phone call without actually answering that question. No, I will not be single anytime soon.
She's going to be calling back in 6 months, so...
6 months, I'll be back.
All right, Kate, we got to go. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Love you.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Air Transat's Kids Club. This is amazing, man. It's free for kids ages 2 to 11, and you get all sorts of stuff when you join the Air Transat Kids Club.
So flying with children, for the most part, is hell.
Yeah.
And airports aren't designed for kids. Airlines aren't designed for kids. Kids don't have the patience to stand there and wait. There's nothing fun for them to do. It's boring and it's a nightmare for a lot of parents. So that's why with Air Transat's Kids Club, and as Mocha just said, it's free to join for kids 2 to 11. You get free seat selection. You get that dedicated check-in counter for members and their families, which is huge.
Pre-boarding for you and your family as well in economy class, which is unheard of. Yeah. You get those onboard surprises as well. They give you like a little baggie full of stuff for the kids to keep them occupied on that flight for however short or long that flight may be.
Priority baggage handling and so much more.
Go to airtransat.com to learn more about their kids club.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
But Dan Mamori showed up last night at your house.
Oh, God.
Very strange.
Everything
we pointed this out earlier that I find it odd that Maury would show up at your house the day before your birthday, late at night, knowing that a couple hours later, he's going to be showing up in front of your house to pick you up and bring you to work.
Do you find it odd, it's even still at this point, or do you find it completely normal behavior for Maury? I'm almost at the point now of where, as ridiculous as it is completely normal behavior for him, which says a lot.
Also, the fact that he recorded the conversation.
Right. What?
Happy birthday.
Thanks. It's tomorrow.
Yeah, I know, but like, how cool of a surprise is this?
So weird. Stop. It's not. My birthday's tomorrow.
Okay, but first of all, is Catherine home or not?
Yes, she's home.
Oh, because I thought I could come in, because, like, first of all, you can't see, but I brought you steaks.
You're so weird.
And I thought you could show me what you do with the meat.
You're so weird. I'm not sure.
Show me what you do with the meat.
More, honestly, don't come to my house on Sunday and ask me to show you what I do with the meat. You're very weird.
Okay, but like, I bring you food. I'm hoping you'd invite me in.
Stop it. Honestly,
I'm part of the gift.
Honestly, stop it. You're not.
Show me.
I don't know. I don't want you as a gift, and I'm certainly not showing you what I do with the meat. Okay,
fine.
Can I go, please?
Happy birthday.
Okay, I really do appreciate it, but no, not on Sunday.
I don't come with a gift receipt.
Not on Sunday. Weird. It's weird, right? Like, that's not normal behavior. It's really not normal behavior.
I know, but still, happy birthday,
thanks.
Roz.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Now, Roz, because it is your birthday,
truth,
and I know how much of a fan of horoscopes you are, I've decided to pull up your horoscope for today.
Oh, great.
Now, do you consider yourself a Libra or Scorpio? Because I got them both.
I don't know really much about this because it's all junk.
Liar.
But I will say this. Anytime, because when you're a kid, my mom used to buy like horoscope books all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And every now and then I would sort of just cruise on through it.
Uh-huh. Hint, hint. Is that a birthday gift idea?
No, it's not at all. Oh. And the one thing I realized that Libras are loads.
Oh, wow.
So okay. I would always lean more towards Scorpio.
Well, I'm going to read them both because...
Okay.
In the horoscope section of the Toronto Star, Libra is listed as September 23rd to October 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And Scorpio is the 23rd to November 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just give them both.
Sure.
So, Libra.
Thanks.
Defer to someone else. You might not be ecstatic about this course of action, but ultimately, it will benefit you. Be aware of your limited influence. Recognize what doors this person could cause to close. You might revisit an important decision. Tonight, accept an invitation.
Oh, excuse me. Maury, it's not going to be from you. Get out of here. No.
Maury's sprinting in here.
There was a little like part of that.
No.
It said a small influence, but you're a huge influence.
Do you think that you're the small influence in my life?
Oh, hey, there you go. Interesting.
Stop it.
Okay, your horoscope, if you are a Scorpio.
Yeah.
Defer to others and get past an emotional limitation. You know what works for you. Mm. Do not hesitate to ask for what you want.
Will not.
You might not think you will receive a positive response.
Yes, you will.
But you will.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that you are simply starting up a conversation. Tonight, hang out.
Stop it. I can't believe people think this stuff is real.
That was very truthful.
Very truthful?
Yeah, man. If you ask for something, the answer's going to be yeah. Ask for it, Roz.
Ask for it. I'm not asking you for anything, Maury. Like, I'm just not.
Yeah, even for me, hearing Maury say ask for it, Roz, right? That was creepy.
Right? It's so creepy, especially with this music. Like, I don't know if I'll get past that now. Like, today's my birthday, for God's sake.
It sure is.
Stop it.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Happy birthday, Roz!
Thank you.
We are celebrating today, and Damon Maury is very excited for your birthday.
Right.
Anytime to celebrate you, Roz, it's a good day.
Thank you, Maury.
So what have you prepared today, Damon Maury?
So I've written you a song.
A song?
I wrote you a song.
Not a poem.
No, a song.
All right.
And I'm going to play it on my recorder, which I just have shoved down the back of my pants.
You're so weird. You know that this morning Maury stepped in something outside?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh God, what is that? And normally when you step in something outside, you let it be, right?
Yeah.
Maury reached down with his finger, wiped whatever it was that he stepped in off with his finger, and then smelt it.
That is so gross.
To see what it was.
You're disgusting.
Well,
dude.
How else are you supposed to smell it?
You're so gross. You just don't smell it.
I was like,
it.
No, humans don't do that, yeah. Right? We don't. Wipe it on the curb.
So okay, the problem is that I only have one mouth, so I can only play the instrument one time and then sing the song one time.
Okay.
So my plan is I will play the song first on the recorder.
Right.
Then I'll need you to remember how that sounded while I sing you the song.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's easier ways to do this, I think. But okay.
Not in this year.
All okay. Right.
We don't have the technology.
Okay. We don't have the technology to record a recorder.
At all? Nah, fam.
What the hell are we doing in here, man? Go. Okay, so the same note over and over and over again then.
You're ruining the song.
Sorry, my bad. It's a completely different song than you played the first time.
Yeah, I'm just trying again.
Okay.
Okay.
Think you know what you're doing. I'm gonna go ahead and say that.
Is this your birthday song or my birthday song?
I believe it's my birthday song.
Okay, Maury, please, one more time, just with the tune.
Okay.
Jeez, okay.
Go.
Okay, yeah. So that's okay. The tune.
All right, can you remember that tune in your head?
Absolutely.
Ross? Okay.
Okay,
you sounds like garbage.
Okay.
Dearest Roz, I want to tell you from the bottom of my schnoz how much you mean to me. You're my boss, but I just think of you as my Roz. The way the morning light beams off your beard, the way my blood starts pumping every time you're near. I can hear how loud my heart beats when I leer at you from outside your window. I didn't draw that heart in the fog on your window. Okay, maybe I did, but you can't prove it, dearest Roz. I want to tell you from the bottom of my nose, I like the way that plant beside your bed grows, and the way your bed sheet flows above your ankle. I can see your painted toes. Catherine's rolling over, time to go.
You're the weirdest person I've ever met in my life.
Like, now does this make sense?
You know when you put that in your mouth and you stare at me like that, I make it so uncomfortable.
Happy birthday, Roz!
The
Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'll tell you, I had a massage over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. I had a massage over the weekend, and yeah. I'm in so much pain right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That happens also.
You know, well, you know me. I don't do well with massages, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just, for me, a perfect world is somebody can, I just want to pay somebody, like on the level too. Mm. I just want to pay somebody more. And this is not an invite to come in and join the conversation. I just want to pay somebody who will just tickle my back and my legs.
Your back just and your legs?
Just lightly tickle me.
Like where on your legs? Like the front?
Just the back of my legs. The back like, of I will legs. Lie down on a massage table.
Yeah.
Lightly sort of just knead me like I'm at, like, you know what I mean? Knead me like I'm dough, just lightly with your fingertips, right?
Yeah.
Work me a little bit that way. And then just give me a good like 15 minutes of just light back tickles. That's all I want from a massage. That to me, Maury, I did. What did I just say to you?
I know, but I can't help my legs.
I don't want you to come in here.
My legs want it in.
No, I'm trying to like, I'm trying to help myself and maybe start like a new thing here.
If like somebody's got the tickles?
No, if somebody's got the entrepreneurial spirit and they want to branch out, I'm telling you, there's a market. If you are just willing to have somebody come in, I'll pay you like whatever you make for a massage. Like, I don't care. But I just,
know, man.
Need what, me lightly.
What you're describing?
Yeah.
Those places exist?
No. I want this on the level.
Oh.
Need me lightly, right? Like just massage me like I'm a dough, right? With your fingertips. Just massage me like I'm a dough. And when you're finished with that, just gently tickle my back.
So like roll you out and tickle?
Just like roll me out, knead me a little bit,
yeah.
Right? Not too hard,
uh-huh.
Right? And then just finish it off with some light back tickles, tops of my shoulders, maybe even a light scalp massage, depending on how strong your fingers are. And then just the backs of my legs, everywhere that you would for a regular massage, only please don't pulverize me because I wind up for 4 days after I have a massage, being in so much pain.
What massage did you sign up for?
It's just every massage. It doesn't matter.
Way.
It doesn't matter. When you start going at me like that, I'm like, and then I get so self-conscious because I want to tell somebody that they're doing it too hard, but then I feel like I have to like tough my way through it. It's just not enjoyable for me.
Well, have you ever tried a hot stone massage?
I've tried all the massages.
Where they just put stones on you?
Listen, don't be like the weed guys, Maury. When I say I don't like weed, it makes me sick. And then the weed guys are all like, oh, well, have you tried this weed? Have you tried this weed? No, it's not. I've tried it all. And I'm in pain days afterwards.
No way. I love a deep, deep massage where they use their forearms and their elbows.
Yeah.
Like no, I like where I'm basically holding back screams.
No. See, why would you do that?
I'm not screaming. I just...
No.
I like that.
If you're willing to just take the money to just knead me like a dough and then just give me light back tickles, I will keep you in business forever.
Can I showcase my tickle on your hand?
No, I'm telling you right now,
no, but if I show you on my hand, will you hire me for your business?
No, I'm not at all. You're not involved in this. I don't know how many other ways I can say other than, please don't come in here. Don't take part in this. I don't want to talk to you. You make it weird.
And look, I'm still here.
And look, you're still here. Right? Anyway, I was hoping this was going to go another way. Now I need a massage because you've made me so bloody aggravated right now.
Still willing.
I'm all tense again.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
All right?
I'm still so sore today.
From what?
From the stupid massage I had over the weekend.
Right, because you like to get a massage a certain type of way.
Well, that doesn't exist.
Ah, yes.
Because I don't like massage. What I want is for just somebody to, I will pay you the same money that you make to give a massage, but I hurt too much. I just want you to knead me like a dough with the tips of your fingers and then spend the rest of the time just giving me light back tickles and tickle the backs of my legs. Just lightly tickle me anywhere that you would normally jam your elbow into me because I don't find that enjoyable.
Well, we're getting a lot of texts from people
offering
services. Yeah. Somebody wrote and said, 925-555, by the way, I have nice long nails. My tickles are top notch.
No, but you have to be a professional. Otherwise, it's weird.
We're going to call Jordan real quick.
I can't be the only one that wants this. There has to be a market for this.
I don't know if it's boy Jordan or girl Jordan, but we don't discriminate.
Hello?
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha from Kiss 92.5.
No way. How are you?
What's going on, Jordan?
Not much.
We got your text. Yeah. So you would like to be Roz's personal light massage and tickler, as you've said on your text.
Yeah, deal.
Okay, but is this what you already do for a living?
No.
Oh.
I've just been told I have the best nails and that I need to open up like a tickle parlor by so many different people.
Okay, so
that's so weird. This freaking tickle parlor.
I know.
There's a
market
for this.
Anytime I'm with my friends, they're like, tickle my back.
There is a market for this. I'm telling you, a tickle parlor is not as ridiculous as it sounds. I would pay for a 40-minute tickle session. I really would. I know it sounds
honestly
weird.
And I can't even lie, I've thought about it, because
yes,
finding a full-time job nowadays is so hard that I'm like, maybe I should just do it.
Right. Wait, what do you do for a living right now?
Right now I'm working in retail. Yeah. I went to school for public relations.
Oh,
right.
And now you just want to open up Jordan's tickle bar.
Yeah.
You know what? Why not at this point? There's clearly a market for it.
I'm telling you, there's a huge market for this. And I would be happy to be the first person. Like, when you open up, I don't know how you get a license for a tickle parlor in this city. But, you know.
Honestly, I don't know if it'd be as easy as getting a license for a massage parlor, but.
Yeah, well, no, but
worth a try.
My thing is, I want to be on the level with all of this, right? Like, I want this to be as therapeutic as somebody who goes for a massage where you get the tax receipt and your company helps you pay for it.
I think you could be an investor, Roz.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, we should get in on this together and, like, make it happen.
Wow. Okay. Jeez. I don't know if I want to go financially behind you. I don't even know who you are. You know, but you sound like you have nice nails and all, but I might need a little bit more than people say I'm great at blank. So you are a world-class tickler, according to you, right?
According to many people, but
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What makes a good tickle, then?
It's got to be, like, not too soft, but not too hard.
Yeah.
Because some people, well, it actually depends on who you're tickling, because some people like it really light, and some people are like, I want you to almost scratch me.
See, how many people have you been tickling, Jordan?
All my friends.
Yeah. All okay. Her friends, yeah.
Anytime, honestly, even my girlfriends. If I'm with my girlfriends watching a movie, one of them will put their arm out and be like, tickle my arm, because I'm the one with the nails.
Yeah, girls are great like that.
I was going to say, dudes don't do that.
Yeah, guys don't do that. I've never hung out with Mocha watching the fight or any of my other guy friends and just like thrown my arm on his lap and been like, oh, God,
right,
please.
And yet it's the guys that will be the ones coming to the tickle parlor for all the tickles.
Thank you. Oh, I'm down with this. So let's get this off the ground. We're going to put you on hold. We'll get your information. And maybe we've tried to figure this out. Again, it's going to come down to licensing, though, because I can't do something like some fly-by-night, you know, under the ground basement tickle, you know, dungeon. That's not what I'm looking for.
I'd rather not do that either, don't worry.
Okay, all right, good.
And whatever you do, don't name your place the tickle dungeon. Right. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
Bye.
Have a good day, guys.
Bye.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
I spent my birthday yesterday in the doctor's office with Roxy all day.
Oh, no, what happened?
I don't know. Kids get sick, you know?
Oh.
And the doctor was, it was so busy. I guess doctor's offices after a Monday are jammed because...
Of course.
Well, because kids just hurt themselves all weekend long.
Yeah.
And then you can't get in to see your
jumping
doctor.
Jumping off the couch.
Yeah, right?
Jumping off the porch.
Yeah. So,
jumping off the dog.
Just everything. Throwing the dog off the couch.
Sure.
Then the dog comes back for revenge. Next thing you know, Monday morning, doctor's office.
Yes.
Right? Been there. So that took a little while to get her sort of all fixed up and get everything she needs. And then by the time we got back home, it was like afternoon. And then I tried to take a nap.
Oh, birthday naps are the best.
Yeah. And then so I go, Rox, just put the iPad down. Just, you're not feeling well. Just come and cuddle with me and have a nap with me. She's like, that would be amazing. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go. It's on.
Yeah.
Right? Like couch nap.
2 hours.
Catherine was, I don't know where she was. She had some appointment that she had to take care of.
Yeah.
So it's just me and Rox at home.
Probably big birthday plans for you.
Oh, yes.
For her man.
Yes. Thank you. No, and then so I'm cuddling with Rox and she just wasn't into it, but I think she was just doing it to make me happy, which is, I love her for. And then so I'm lying there and I can just tell something's not right. And then I open my eyes and her head is on my chest and she's staring at me and she goes, Dad, I have a hypothesis. And I go, what? She goes, beard hair, much thicker than head hair. I go, Rox, you're driving me nuts, dude. I'm like, listen, go do anything you want right now. I'm giving you free rein in the house. Go and do anything you want. Just let me get a half hour sleep. So I lean back, I close my eyes. And then I feel like a pillow on my chest or like on my stomach. And then I kind of like open my eye and I look and there's a cat on the pillow. So it's me, it's the couch, me, pillow, cat, like a tower.
Yeah.
Right. And then I close my eyes because sometimes a cat do that. And then I open my eyes again and Roxy has another cat in her hand and she's sneaking over to me to put this one on my chest. So she was like piling cats on me. Right. And I go, Rox, honestly, dude. Just go and do whatever you want. iPad, television, Netflix, books, yeah. games, Rubik's Cube. Find something to do for yeah. 20 minutes.
There
please.
Are a million things.
There's a million things. Yeah. And she goes, okay, Dad, I'm sorry. And I go, okay, cool. So I lie, put my head back down on the couch. And then all I hear is this. All I hear is this.
Somebody knocking on the door?
And I open my eyes and she's sitting there by the back window. Knocking on the window and I go, Rox, what are you doing? She goes, there's a squirrel out there. I go, you want me to get up now? She goes, yes, please.
Also, happy birthday, Dad!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hi, Roz and Mocha. This is Monica.
How are you, Monica?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's going on?
I'm just on my drive to work, and I'm kind of reflecting on how you guys totally start my morning off in a positive way.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a teacher, so I've got to spread the positivity, too, so you guys, like, load up my battery life for the day.
Oh, wow. What grade do you teach?
I teach grade 7, so welcome to puberty.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow.
What okay. does that classroom smell yeah. like?
You know, it's kind of been nasty this week.
Yeah.
But you can ask me that question again in June.
Yeah.
Actually, let me ask you this, Monica, because it was in 7th grade. I'll never forget this. It was 7th grade where my teacher, Mr. Dunn,
yeah.
had to have a conversation with the class about body odor
oh boy.
And deodorant yeah. and using deodorant and talking about kind of like the changes in your body
yeah.
that would
yeah,
create I those mean, smells. Do you have to have, is it like around grade 7? Like when do you start having that conversation
yeah, with, I mean, with grade students? 7, grade 6. It's a middle school, so I mean, the conversation I think gets had throughout. But since I teach sex ed, it just goes hand in hand. So it actually blends in with the conversation, so it's not awkward. I don't have to point people out, which is nice.
Right.
But
I remember I had a girlfriend around that time, and we used to go to her house to smooch. And what?
In grade 7?
Oh, listen, it was the 80s, okay? Just leave me alone.
I don't want to hear that.
So we used to go to her house to smooch, and I guess I stunk real bad. And then so she would, when I came over, she would always go to the bathroom and get me her dad's deodorant. And and I used to wear her dad's deodorant,
oh my God.
Which back then was English leather.
is
what it was called. Yeah. And so I always remember that. Like I would go over to her house to smooch and then I'd have to go into the bathroom and put her dad's deodorant on. And so think of this. This is how bad teenage boys smell. She would rather smooch with a guy who smelt like her dad than smelt like a teenage boy.
That's so weird.
Right?
Gross.
Oh,
hey, Monica, thanks for calling in. And we appreciate the fact that you get to share your morning with us.
Thanks, guys. We're going to play 5 and 7 in my class today. I've got a classroom-friendly version. Thank you, guys.
Hold on. I don't want you to blow the game in case any of your kids are listening, but what are some of the questions that you're using for 5 and 7?
Well, it depends. So, for example, I teach geography.
Yeah.
So we'll even do name 5 countries that start with letter C, and they have 7 seconds to do it, right?
Oh,
I kind of try to make
geez.
It a because if I ask them for 5 different words for the word butt,
yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to hear. I'm hoping you guys might play today so that I can get some more ideas and we can have another round in my class as well.
We can definitely do that, yes. And I do believe that one time in the past, one of the questions that we asked Maury for 5 and 7 was, name 5 signs of puberty.
I'm sure he forgot his answer, so that has to be a question on today's game. All right, Monica, we're going to let you go. Drive safe.
Thanks.
When we come back, we're going to play 5 and 7, okay?
Thanks, guys. Love you.
Love you, too. Take care.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I just pinch my belly in between, like, my jeans and my belt. Do you ever get that when you wear a big belt buckle?
Nope.
Oh.
Out. How big is that bell buckle?
It's not big. It's not big.
A cowboy?
No, Holmes, look at it. Look, it's just, it's small, but it goes like this. When I sit, sometimes the corner of the belt buckle just like digs into me in inches.
You need an ambulance?
I don't need an ambulance.
Do you need a wambulance?
Stop it. Maury, come in here, please, so we can play this stupid game by request.
Are you sure you don't want me to call you a wambulance?
Stop it. Maury, I need you to walk faster so Mocha can start making fun of you, not me. Okay? Do your part. We all have to do our part on this show. Okay, you guys ready? You want to play 5 and 7?
This is 5 and 7.
All right, by request. Very simple. Good morning, Dan. Maury.
Good day.
Okay. Maury, we will ask you to name 5 things. You have 7 seconds to name those 5 things. I will be giving the questions. Mocha will be the official judge and timekeeper. Are you ready?
Yes.
Maury, name 5 fictional kings.
King Tut. King Lear. King Burger King.
Loser.
Okay. Did you say Burger King or Booger King?
Burger King.
Okay, Burger King. Would have given you Burger King, yes.
Would you have given him King Kong Bundy?
Would have given you King Kong Bundy. Would have given you King Kong. Would have given you Scorpion King. King Friday would have given you also the Lion King.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. You know where we're going with this, right, Maury?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maury, name 5 things you rub to make them work.
The lantern. Rub them to make them work. Rub them to make them work.
Loser.
Maury would have given you Vicks.
Okay.
A535 would have given you wax.
I was thinking of objects.
Silver polish I would have given you. Okay. Things you have to rub to make them work. Damn it, Maury. Name 5 citrus fruits.
Orange, lemon, lime. That's it.
Loser.
Well, what about grapefruit?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Would have given you tangerine, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why wouldn't I have?
I don't think it was citrusy enough.
Oh, okay. Maury, name 5 things you generally do with 1 finger.
Pick my nose, pick my ear, pick my belly button, push a button, point.
Loser.
I'm gonna say picking something on your body is 1 thing.
Yeah.
Not also, not 5. We could have gone down a deep rabbit hole with that one. Corner of my eye. Molar. Okay, things you pick is 1. I also would have given you a dial a phone, ring a doorbell, give someone the finger you can do with just 1 finger. Point. And yes, Maury, I would have given you pick your nose. Maury, are you ready?
Yes.
Maury, name 5 sports you play in pants.
Okay, baseball. Baseball, hockey.
Loser.
What did you say?
Long jump.
Long jump? You know, people are out there wearing pants long jumping?
You have to wear shorts. Come on.
Have you ever seen somebody long jumping? I mean, maybe an Acton. That sounds like an Acton track meet. You know? And so I grew up with guys who skied in jeans. Right?
Yeah.
You know,
small town life.
Right? You know, in Acton, maybe you do long jump in pants. Maury, would have given you cricket.
Okay.
They play in pants.
Golf.
Golf, they play in pants. Karate.
I was also trying to think of the one where you have a big, big pair of pants and you're both in one of the legs hopping down the field.
What sport is that?
Excuse me?
You're holding
Wait, just wait a second. Okay. I need you to describe the sport where it's 1 big pair of pants with 2 people in it hopping down a lawn or a court? What did you say?
Hopping down a lawn while carrying a spoon with an egg in it.
Okay. Are you talking like company team bond day? Like y'all work for
birthday parties.
Like a bunch of pen salesmen trying to like cut loose and get to know each other over a weekend?
Not a sport.
That kind of thing? Did you ever get into 1 big giant pair of pants with another man?
Yeah. At overnight Jewish camp.
Really?
Yeah.
He wasn't a counselor, was he? It was an actual sanctioned game, though.
We should end this and go to the next question.
There is no next question. I got all the time for this.
And that's how you play 5 and 7.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
It's also payday, Maury. Get yourself out of the red.
Oh, it is payday. Hey!
Last night, Matthew and I had our discussion about lottery again.
Yeah.
What do you eat?
No. Either take whatever you're eating out of your mouth. Thank you.
Oh my God, that's gross. What?
I'm eating a hot chocolate Clif Bar.
Yep.
He just spit it in his hand.
That's
Ross
fine.
Told me to.
That's
I do fine. What Ross tells me
I
to
can't,
do.
I can't sit. We're doing this show, and he eats right before he runs in here. I can't look at you.
Like, you know we're about to go on the radio. Why are you stuffing your face with food
I
right
thought
now?
I would have swallowed by now.
No.
Okay, so it's in my hand. I can continue.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were walking home, and we were talking about, because we were just on our way to put $40 down on lottery tickets.
Put $40 down? You say that like it's a down payment for your future millions.
Why don't you just say we're going to go buy a lot of tickets?
But $20 is my ticket, $20 is his ticket, uh-huh. And then, you know, whoever wins will share with the other. Like, I swear we're married, but everything is separate.
What do you mean you would share? What's the ratio then? If you win, is it 50-50 or no?
If we win, it's probably more for him, because we'll buy things together, but I still get a large percentage that I can just keep on my own.
Okay.
I don't understand that, though.
No.
What do you mean? If you win...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he still gets a majority of the money to buy stuff for himself, and then you get like...
No, for the condo. Like, he will make decisions for the... Because what we discussed what we discussed was, is there's no point moving because we'll never get a better place than what we have now. Because the condo market right now... So he said, we should just stay where we are and make it nice like how we want it. You know, put built-in bookcases like we've dreamed about.
So I swear to God, for the amount of every day you talk about some new built-in that you guys want to do. You know, if you did all of those things that you want to do, every built-in, you would open your front door of your condo, and it would just be a hall.
Yeah, you'd be surrounded by built-ins.
Built-ins, it would just all be built-ins.
You remember? You know what I'm picturing?
Like, everything would just be a built-in.
Like Seinfeld when he wanted the levels.
No, everything would just be a built-in.
Do you remember that one scene, like 30 minutes before Interstellar ended, when Matthew McConaughey, he's in that weirdo bookshelf?
Yeah, he's in the bookshelf. Yes.
Right? And
yes.
He's just surrounded, and it keeps getting like closing in on him
yes.
a little bit. That's what I pictured him and Maury and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, you guys will be sleeping in the bathtub. Actually, no. You'll be sleeping standing up in the shower in the guest bathroom because you're actually not allowed to use the bathtub.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm reading the story.
Yeah. Oh, you are?
Where they ask people, shut up.
Wow.
It's too early in the show for that kind of nonsense.
Are there big words that you need help with?
You just wait. You want me to read this headline then?
Yes.
Hey, you want me to read this headline?
Sure.
Okay, so let's get into it then.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
Oh, no.
Okay, the headline is, what's the most embarrassing thing that you don't know how to do? I'll give you some examples. People say that they can't parallel park.
I know how to do that.
People who say they can't whistle.
I go whistle.
People who say that they can't gift wrap a package.
Oh, easy.
People who say that they can't swim, even as adults.
Go on.
Yeah. Oh, what? You got something to say now?
I do not swim, even as an adult.
Okay.
I don't know how.
You got something to say?
Although, for the past like 4 weeks or so,
yeah,
we signed our son up, who's 18 months now, for swim classes.
Right.
And it's parent and taught classes.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And the swimming pool, it's only like 4 feet high, right? In the water. So
just over your head then.
So shut up.
Oh.
So guess who's the one that goes to the pool with him? The guy who can't swim.
Now, do you wear something just in case you go under? Like, do you have any sort of like life preserver thing?
Go under, just stand up.
You don't wear an inflatable around your waist?
No.
But sometimes panic sets in, man.
No, that's embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
So part of the reason why we signed him up and I'm the one that's going in the pool with him is so that I can secretly learn. They're doing like super basic stuff.
Right.
Like splash your hands in the water.
Pour a little bit of water over your head to
pour
get
the
used
water
to it.
On your head.
Yeah.
Like, can you dip your head underneath? I'm like, fam, I can do all that. Can we move on?
You can dip your head?
I can dip my head?
Yeah.
Easy.
That doesn't bother you?
Not
like
at
you
all.
Don't lose sort of your equilibrium doesn't go off or anything
like
that?
That.
No.
No.
Other things people say that that's embarrassing that they don't know how to do. This is a big one because I see adults doing this quite frequently.
Why?
Which is they don't know how to tie their shoes without doing the two bunny ears.
Oh my God. Wait, Maury, you do that, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's who I see. I know I saw somebody regularly.
Why, you know what?
That's the only way to do it.
And you have trouble tying your shoes. That's why whenever you see David Mori, majority, I'd say 90% of the time that you see Mori, he's wearing shoes that don't have laces.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, like, I don't have time to sit there and do bunny ears.
Wear slip-ons all the time. If you ever meet Mori in public, first thing you got to do is look down at his feet because he's always wearing shoes that don't have laces.
Right. And did I say whistle?
Yeah.
Which one of you can't whistle? I don't remember.
Mori.
Right, correct.
The one that I want to add?
Yeah.
I can't fold clothes.
What do you mean you can't fold clothes?
I can't. I do not know how to fold my laundry. Wait, Matthew does it. Like I don't know how
any
to.
Way?
I don't know how to.
Like you
fold.
Don't know how to fold pants?
I don't know how to
pants
fold.
Pants are probably
how
the
do you
easiest.
Not know how to fold
yeah,
pants?
When I have, so
when,
easy.
I
have,
when I take my dress pants off to put on the dress pants hanger, Matthew does that for me, and okay. I can't fold my shirts.
Right, Maury. Okay,
take off your shirt right now. Let me see how you fold it.
And okay. Also, let me just say this, Maury. Okay. Folding pants.
Sorry that I have to be shirtless in front of you, Roz.
Yeah. Folding pants. I'm going to break this down for you so you can understand this. Folding pants is really nothing more than taking one long rectangle and making a slightly smaller rectangle.
I know, but it always goes askew.
How?
I don't know. It's
the legs just go on top of each other.
Yeah, but when you're doing dress pants, you got to line up the crease.
Like when you walk into the Gap and you see all those jeans folded.
It blows
like,
my mind.
It blows your mind.
You're like, what a time to be alive. Okay. All right, fold your shirt. Okay. Also, I don't know, man. Either
muscular is what you want to look like.
That is a lot of hair.
Yeah.
That's it looks like you're wearing like. A shirt under your shirt.
Right. Did you shave the middle part between your belly and your boobs? That no, part
that's,
there?
That's au naturel.
That's from rubbing too much because of the crease. Okay.
This is how I fold clothes.
What did you do? You folded it in half and then took that half and folded it. It looks like diagonal.
Yeah. You.
I've never seen anyone fold a shirt like
so
that
it's
before.
Like, it's like arm sleeve.
Fold the arm sleeves back and then you fold it in half. Yeah. So you have a big crease going down the front of your shirt, right?
Yeah.
Right. All right, now take off your pants and show us how you fold your pants.
Stop it, stop it.
I was about to. No.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
What's the date today? October 25th?
Correct.
40 years ago today, in 1978.
1978?
Yeah, is when the original Halloween was released.
Oh, wow.
And oftentimes when we mark these anniversaries of these classic films,
yeah,
we like to step back into the Johnny Depp School of Acting.
Oh my God, I love this!
The Johnny Depp School of Acting, there was an article a few years ago that claimed that Johnny Depp was just too out there and too busy and famous and all this other stuff to bother to learn his lines for his films. And so the arrangement that he had was he would show up on set and he would wear a small earpiece in his ear, and then somebody offset would have his script and they would feed him his lines into his ear.
Yeah.
And that's how he would do his movies, which we discovered was incredibly difficult. So we're going to do a scene from Halloween right now.
Oh.
Mocha, you have your script in front of you.
I do not. I need my script. Thank you.
Mocha, you now have your script in front of you.
Yes.
Maury has no script, so I will be feeding Maury's lines to him through an earpiece. Maury, test, test, test. You can hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So, Mocha, you will be playing Brackett, and Maury, you will be playing Dr. Loomis. This is when we first hear Loomis talk about his relationship with Michael Myers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Maury, are you ready?
Yeah.
Mocha?
Yeah.
Okay, Johnny Depp School of Acting, Halloween edition, 40-year anniversary. And take one and action.
I suppose they do seem a bit sinister, like a doctor.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I broke character. I really, really broke character. I apologize. Can we start again?
Yes.
I promise it won't happen again. I know.
Okay.
We're wasting time.
Okay.
It's my bad.
Johnny Depp School of Acting, Halloween, 40-year anniversary. Maury and Mocha, take two, and action.
I suppose it's sinister, like a doctor.
Looks like, to me, you're just plain scared.
I hear you. I met a 15-year-old. 15, yeah. There's nothing left. There's no conscience. There's no reasoning, no understanding. They're most of ruin and death and a wrong and right and a wrong. And a 6-year-old boy, like a blank, cold, emotionless face. And, you know, black is high as the devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to, 8 years to reach him. And I wanted to grab him and lock him away. And he was lit. Nice. He was lit and silver. He was evil.
Okay. That did not sound like it was a scene out of the movie Halloween, because the only words that made sense to me were when you said, I met him 15 years ago, he was a 6-year-old boy, I wanted to lock him up in a room.
All I heard was, boy, 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 boy.
Can we try again?
Yes, okay. Johnny Depp School of Acting, Halloween edition, Maury and Mocha, take 3, and action.
I suppose they do. It look a bit sinister, like a doctor.
It looks like to me that you're just plain scared.
I am. I'm a 15-year-old. 15 years ago, I was told there was nothing left, no conscience, no reason, no understanding, and the most rude and the tension, the wrong, a right, a wrong. Like I met a 6-year-old boy with a blank hole. And a pack of eyes. The devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and trying to keep him locked away. When I realized that he was leaving behind that boy, I was simply evil.
It's very difficult.
I don't know, guys. I think we got a good one there.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey, my name's Melanie. I'm on my way to my wedding at the temple. I'm a white girl, but I'm marrying an Indian guy, so I have to be ready this early in the morning.
Wow.
That was a lot of information in like 5 seconds. Sorry, let's start with your name again.
My name's Melanie.
Melanie. Okay, so you're getting married today. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So, as you said, you're marrying an Indian guy, and from what I know about Indian weddings is that the celebration usually takes like 4 or 5 days, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been partying since Monday.
Damn.
But I'm white, so I got out a couple of things.
That happens a lot in life, I hear.
Yeah, so I got up at 3:30 this morning, and we're on our way to the Gurdwara.
Uh-huh.
And then we have the reception tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. And then what happens on Saturday and Sunday?
We are going to Netflix and Uber Eats for 4 days.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
All right.
How long you known this guy for?
I've known him for 3 years.
We get this question all the time. How did you know he was the one?
You know what? He just, I don't know, it's like this feeling. We laugh constantly together. Like, the first time I met him, I was like, I'm going to marry this guy. And we got engaged 10 months later. And, like, when you know, you know. I've had long-term relationships, and this one, he is, like, the best guy in the world. Honestly, I cannot wait. I'm not nervous at all. I'm so excited to marry him.
And what are you wearing?
I have the traditional red and gold lehenga on.
Yeah.
And all the bling. I am so blinged out.
I have another question for you, Melanie. With this reception that's going on tomorrow night, because I know Indian weddings, like, enough people show up. How many people are on your guest list?
Well, actually, we got really lucky because originally the number was 900, but I said I physically will not show up because I will have a panic attack.
Yeah.
So got it down to 400, and my guest list is 70.
400.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Pardon? Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
A lot of money. A lot of money, you guys.
Yeah, that's
Can
a lot.
That's like a GoFundMe?
Jeez.
No?
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's a one-time thing, you know?
Jeez. Hey, Maury, at $125 a plate, 400 guests, what's the total on that?
Holy jeez.
I don't think Maury's ever counted that high before.
Yeah. Have you ever counted to a number that high before, Maury?
No. So $150.
$125
per plate for 400.
Is that
people?
Average, $125? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe 150. Actually, Melanie, you could tell us the exact amount. What is it per plate for your reception tomorrow?
Well, altogether with everything, it's... Well,
total amount.
Like, per person plate.
150.
Okay, 150. Okay. All right, Maury.
150.
150 at 400 people, Maury.
Yeah.
Well, I'm first doing 100 times 400, and then we'll do the rest.
What?
Right? So if I do, there's $125 a plate for 400 people.
Right.
Let's first figure out what 100, 400 times 100.
Three.
And then 25 doing that at 25 and 20. Yeah. 4 25s is one, because like a dollar.
Right.
So that's one.
4 25s is one. Yeah, okay, so you're right.
It's four.
Yeah. Maury's going to figure out your total for you. Don't you worry. We got this.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh my God.
How much, Maury?
400,000
$400,000. So you mean to tell me that Melanie, who's getting married today and has a reception tomorrow with 400 people, is spending almost $500,000?
No. Let me quote Maury exactly. They're not spending nearly $500,000. They're spending $450,000.
Oh my God. Yes.
$450,000.
I hope you get some good gifts, girl.
Melanie, congratulations. Thank you so much for calling us on your special day.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so glad you guys answered. This is the best thing that could happen, honestly. I'm getting married, of course.
Yes, of course. Yeah, no problem. Listen, we love you. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you. Bye, guys. Have a good day.
Take care.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
So Lady Gaga, if you remember, there was a supercut that somebody had put together where she just repeatedly does the, I'm just an Italian girl from New York. Right? Do you remember that?
Italian girl from New York.
I'm just an Italian girl from New York.
Dark Italian.
Good Brooklyn Italian girl.
Yes. I'm an Italian.
So I'm Italian.
But I'm Italian.
Italian.
I'm Italian, so.
I was a strong Italian female.
Italian.
I'm Italian.
I'm Italian.
I'm Italian.
I'm from a good Italian family.
Aren't you Italian?
I'm very traditional Italian.
Long Italian family.
I'm an Italian woman.
You're Italian, you know what those are.
It's Italian men, you know.
I'm an Italian.
I'm an Italian.
From an Italian family.
Italian.
I'm Italian.
Pretty much anything Italian.
I'm very Italian.
Yo, she's Italian, right?
She's very much Italian, yes.
She never talks about it, weird.
So this one is even better.
What?
This one is even better.
Is she something
better.
Else now?
No. So her love for Bradley Cooper.
Uh-oh.
And thanking him for this role in A Star Is Born and sort of elevating her talents to where they are, and people are now starting to talk about awards. She has a way that she likes to thank Bradley Cooper for being the one who believed in her. And she says it often.
There can be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe in you, but I had this one incredible talent with me.
You can have 100 people in the room that are watching you and 99 don't believe in you and one does, and that was him.
You know, there could be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe, but all it takes is one.
You know, 100 people can be in a room and 99 don't believe in you and just one person believes in you and it can change everything.
There can be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe in you and just one does.
You know, there can be 100 people in the room and 99 don't believe in you and just one does.
100 people and there can be in a one room, right? Yeah. And 99 don't believe in you, but just one believes, and it can change your whole life.
Really?
100 people in the room you can have, and 99 don't believe in you, just one does, and it changes your whole life.
Wow.
There can be 100 people in a room, and 99 don't believe in you.
Yeah, but what about the one?
But all you need is just for one person to believe.
Oh my God.
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, come up with like five or at least five generic answers that you're going to give.
Right.
Like when you want to show love and appreciation for Bradley Cooper.
That takes away the feeling of being genuine. When it becomes a rehearsed bit, it takes away all sincerity of the meaning. It really does to me. How many people were in that room? 99.
Yeah.
100 people. 99 don't believe in you. 99. But it takes just that one who does to just change everything. Look at that. Even I screwed it up though. She said it 25 times.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Yes. Oh, here we go. So Halloween opens today. And I've been going back and forth with a guy on Twitter, Kyle Cowan, because we had the conversation earlier whether Laurie Strode, who's played by Jamie Lee Curtis, is Michael Myers' sister. And Maury said yes, and then Kyle on Twitter said yes, and I said no. Because in the original 1978 version, they were not siblings. That the sibling aspect was a plot twist at the end of the 1981 sequel.
Hmm.
And as we know about this new one that's out today, and you'll hear from Jamie Lee Curtis, this one is a direct sequel to the original.
So forget everything else that happened after that.
Including the idea that Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers are siblings.
Jamie Lee Curtis! This is a moment. I'm so happy to see you.
Is this like an all-in-one band? Like,
really?
Guys that used to... Yeah, it's very interesting.
How are we supposed to forget? Like, because it goes back to the first one. So you want us to forget everything we've seen?
No, I just want you to remember the first movie and then watch this movie. All the rest of the movies, if you have a favorite one, you can still have it. They are not gone. They are available on streaming. But it has no relevance to the movie we made. Which is why the movie is called Halloween.
Oh, in your face.
In your face, warning.
Like, getting schooled by Jamie Lee Curtis.
It's like, get bent, little man. What else we got?
Oh, because Halloween is next week. Or in 2 weeks, actually. David Morey asked her about that.
What do you do on Halloween? What do you do?
Anything.
What do you do on Halloween?
I don't have to do anything.
Oh. Turn the lights off and pretend you're not home?
Hey, nobody comes by my house, ever. So I leave candy out. I always do that, and they never come by. And the truth of the matter is, I am Halloween. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to go anywhere.
It's true.
I just sit in my house and smile and eat candy corn because I like it.
Thank you so much. By the way, for everyone listening, Jamie Lee Curtis smells fantastic. You smell amazing.
Now you're flirting.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, I think you got a knife in the chest by Michael Myers, bro.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Thomas Markle. Haven't heard about Thomas Markle in a while. This is Meghan Markle's dad. Remember that whole thing that all went down?
Soon to be grandpa.
So, and yeah, soon to be grandpa, right? So Thomas Markle now is... chiming in about how happy he is about the news that Meghan Markle is having a kid. So this is what he says. It was a very proud moment. I was filled with love, joy, and happiness for both my beautiful daughter and my son-in-law. A new baby is a blessing. I look forward to seeing a little Meghan or a little Harry. Thomas Markle said that he was driving to the U.S.-Mexico border when he heard the news. He said, I was sitting in line waiting to cross the border when I heard the announcement over the radio.
Not even a text from your daughter being like, hey, dad, guess what?
Not even a text.
Or a phone call.
Nothing.
Right?
Nothing.
Hey, dad, Harry and I have some great news to share with you.
Nothing.
You're going to be a grandpa.
Oh, could you imagine? You screwed up, man.
Yeah.
When you don't get the, hey, you're going to be a grandfather.
Or you have to
text.
Hear it on the radio while you're waiting at the U.S.-Mexico border. Right.
And also, and just to not even lie about that, like, you didn't have to say how you heard it.
Yeah. Just say, I heard it on the radio. Or I heard it on the news.
No, you know, I wouldn't even say I heard it on the radio. That makes you sound terrible.
Or
I'm very happy.
I got the news.
I got the news. I'm very happy. Maury, come in here for a second. Maury is very sensitive to this because he feels that he should be in the loop on a lot of announcements. And when he's not first informed, you get very upset about this. You know how this feels.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, no, because there was something, somebody you knew got married or something like this.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the story was. And you were, or they were getting married and you were very upset, but you weren't even that good of a friend.
Right. And you have to find out on social media or something like that. And you're right. Like, well, the least you could have done is said something.
And then I said to Maury, I'm like, well, how close are you? He's like, not really, though. But Maury feels that everybody he knows, he should be in the line
of
a personal notification as opposed to a public notification.
Well, even if you know them, like, you shouldn't have to find out on social media. Send out a group text.
A group text.
Wait, are you part of a group text with this person already?
No.
No.
Oh.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Jason. Just calling to wish you Roz a happy birthday, man.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate it.
It's a first-time caller for me. First time in your country for a long while.
Where have you been?
This is the first speech, and I'm actually listening to it since I've been here.
Nice. Where are you from?
I'm from Trinidad.
And oh, gosh, Trinidad boy.
Hey, come on.
When did you get here?
I came in last year, August.
Oh, okay. What brought you to Toronto?
I'm doing some studies. I'm studying electrical engineering.
Oh, nice.
Nice. And so how did you find us?
Well, my cousin who lives up here, he lives up here and everything, he always has it on the station. And the banter between the two of you guys remind me so much of back home.
Yeah.
Israel Bacchanal, as we like to say back home.
Right.
Nice. So, sorry, I didn't get your name at first.
Oh, it's Jason.
Jason. So where are you, where do you call home? Scarborough or Brampton?
Scarborough, man.
I knew it.
Second house. You can't go wrong with that.
I knew it.
My cousin was also telling me about you guys, and you know, especially with Maury. I heard Maury also has some sort of like Jamaican accent of sorts.
Oh yeah, Jamaican Maury.
Do you want to talk to Jamaican Maury?
Yeah, is that possible?
Yeah, yeah. Jamaican Maury's on his way in right now.
Jamaican Maury, please say good morning to Trini Jason.
Sorry for being late. Soon come, Jamaican Maury.
Nice man, easy.
Welcome to Toronto in Scarborough.
Thank you, dear my brethren. Everything Selassie,
everything Irie.
Josh Wright.
Yeah, you actually have to answer his questions. You can't just repeat him.
Jamaican Maury, what part of Jamaica are you from?
The Central Jamaica, which is called Central Jamaica.
All right, Trini Jason, ask Maury a couple questions. Everything you need to know about him. Go ahead.
So, Maury, what's your favorite dish, man? What do you like to eat?
I love fish roti.
Fish roti?
Fish roti.
You like it
wrapped
or you like it fresh? Which one?
Fresh, man.
Yeah, okay, you repeated what he just said.
But it wasn't a question.
Okay, wait, Maury, I have a question. I actually have a question for regular, damn it, Maury.
Oh, yeah. Let me get him.
No.
Okay. I'm here.
When you were talking about fish just now, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of fish? Or like just general fish?
Let me ask, hold on.
Yeah.
You're talking about fish, monkfish.
Monkfish?
Monkfish. It's a Ghibli fish.
What does Ghibli fish mean?
Aren't all fish Ghibli?
We never hear that one yet.
Oh, it's a wonderful roti. Wet one.
I think
we never hear that one.
I think we've maxed out Jamaican Maury's talents.
Yeah. And knowledge.
Okay. We're already on Ghibli fish and wet ones.
Hey, Trini Jason. Welcome to Toronto. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show. Thank you so much for calling in. You have our number. Please save it and call us anytime.
One love.
Oh, for sure, man. And Roz, best wishes to you, man. I hope you enjoy it. It's going to be a great day.
Thank you, my man.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Trini Jason. So you've been in the city for a year. You've been listening to the Roz and Mocha Show for a year. Between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Honestly, it's going to be divided, but I'm sorry to say I'm going to have to side a little bit more with Mocha.
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Burn in your face, even on your birthday.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. But you do have that regal effect, so don't give that up at all. I mean, that makes you who you are.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right.
Thanks, Jason.
All right.
Take care, man.
Jason, have a great day. Ghibli fish, out you go. Get out of here.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Can you explain what went on wrestling last night to me with Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion, came out at the beginning of WWE Raw. And this is a guy who the company has been trying to make the face of the company forever. And for some reason, the fans just did not like him, hated him, and would always boo him, even when they try to make him a good guy. And recently, in the past couple of months, finally, the fans have come around. And they're standing behind this guy.
Okay.
Finally, after years and years and years.
Yeah, it took a long time.
Roman Reigns is finally the face of the WWE. What the company wanted for years.
Right.
And at the beginning of the show last night, he comes out and makes this announcement.
For months, maybe even a full year, I've come out here and spoke as Roman Reigns, and I said a lot of things. You know, I said that I'd be here every single week. I said I'd be a fighting champion. I said I was going to be consistent, and I said I was going to be a workhorse, but that's all lies. It's a lie because the reality is my real name is Joe, and I've been living with leukemia for 11 years.
Oh, God. So and I guess what, it was in remission and then it came back?
And it came back, and then he goes on to announce that he's got to step away, and he just laid his belt down on the mat right in the middle of the ring and dipped. And like the fan reaction, people were at first were like, what? They didn't know if it was like quote unquote part of the show or not.
Well, that's the problem, right? But I'll tell you these, why these wrestlers are so great and these guys who do it and the women who do it is they're so committed to it and they have so much loyalty to the process and the fans.
Yeah.
That this is a guy who for 11 years has been dealing with leukemia and then it was in remission and it came back. And any other person would just be able to, would have the option of sort of doing that privately.
Yep.
But with wrestlers, they don't, the fans always come first. And so you're now a guy, Roman Reigns or Joe, as he said, who has to go and tell people that leukemia is back and get booed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's how much they care about the fans.
And this is a guy
is that you're going to get booed telling people that you have leukemia, and no other person in any other business in the world has to stand there in front of their customers and tell them, I got to step away from being the number one guy in this company because I have leukemia. Because nobody else gets booed, you know, but wrestlers do, and because they do it because they love it.
Yeah. And here's a guy, he's been, you know, on the road, like with minus what you see on television, right? Yeah. He's traveling like 300 days a year.
What else did he say here? When I was 22 years old, I was diagnosed with this, and very quickly, I was able to put it in remission. But I'm not going to lie, that was the hardest time of my life. I didn't have a job, I didn't have any money, and I didn't have a home, and I had a baby on the way. Oh, yeah, yeah, Jesus Christ.
You know he's The Rock's cousin?
How old is he?
He is 33 years old.
He says, I want to make one thing clear. By no means is this a retirement speech. I will beat this, and I will be back, so you'll see me very soon. And again, you know what the great thing is about wrestling?
Mm.
Is that when he does beat leukemia again and he comes back into that ring, they'll still boo him.
Oh, yeah. They love to boo him.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
On Netflix, I always find it odd when they come up with different box covers for the same show or movie within your scroll. So when you're scrolling through Netflix, you'll see like a TV show or a movie on row one, and then on row six, you'll see that same TV show or movie, but you'll be like, oh my God, what's that? And you're like, oh, they just do a different picture on the box.
And it's exactly for that reason.
Right.
Because it catches your attention.
So here's what Netflix is getting accused of now.
Uh-oh.
So Netflix is accused of baiting black Netflix users.
How?
By creating box covers. And for, I don't know how Netflix knows that these users are black. I don't know whether it's just by your viewing habits and what you like, and then they try and cater to you, or if you filled it out at some point. I don't know. I don't know how they know.
It has to be on your like history of what you watch.
But there's all sorts of people who are grabbing screenshots of Netflix box covers.
Okay.
And what Netflix is doing in their feed is finding like the one black cast member of that movie.
No.
And putting a box cover together with that one black cast member. Somebody posted one, the Netflix movie Like Father with Kristen Bell and Kelsey Grammer. On their Netflix feed, they had, it's a picture of the two black actors that they say had maybe 10 minutes of screen time between them and 20 lines.
Oh no!
So they just go, Netflix will go and find like the one black cast member in whatever movie. They did a box cover for Love Actually.
Yeah,
with the one black guy in the movie for the box cover for Love Actually.
Really? They has Netflix said anything about this accusation?
You know that other show, Sierra Burgess Is a Loser, right?
Oh yeah,
with a Barb from
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. So the box cover for that is the one shot in that show where she is with the other, with the black guy who's in that show.
Come on.
Yeah, then you get to the setup, which I didn't mind the setup. It was just like a dumb little comedy, right? But the setup, the box cover that they're getting is not the box cover that we all get for the setup.
Come on.
Yeah.
That, like, and the show, that's not coincidence.
The show, the new show, The Good Cop.
Yeah.
Which is Josh Groban and, God, who plays his dad? Who plays the cop? It's like Michael Keaton or something like that. One of those guys. Yeah. I don't know who it is. But that's not the box cover. The box cover is Josh Groban with, like, his black chief. What's that? Tony Danza. That's who it is.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
so it's
right.
Not Josh Groban and Tony Danza. It's Josh Groban and the other black character in the
movie. Wait, so has Netflix not said anything about this?
I don't think so, no. It's just people tweeting these. Because one person was like, hey, does this seem weird to you? Does anybody else get this?
And then everybody
just started
checking.
Because I know they changed them to make you think it's something else.
Yeah.
Maybe it piques your interest looking at a different box cover. But when you start going through, they're actually catering them specifically to you by your viewing patterns, and they believe that they've figured out whether you're white or black.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is insane, dude. Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I want to talk to you about asthma.
Okay.
Asthma is autonomous sensory meridian response. Layman's terms, it's the videos on YouTube where people whisper.
Gotcha.
And it's a huge community where there's millions upon millions of subscribers, and people will sit and watch these asthma videos before they go to bed. They watch them if they need to relax.
It's very soothing.
And then celebrities started getting in on them. But you have a clip right there of one of the most famous and followed asthma artists. Asthma Darling is what she goes by.
Hey, it's me. ASMR darling. Thank you so much for joining me. Today's video is all about you and how amazing you are.
Right?
How wonderful you are.
People love this.
And just how overall beautiful of a person you are.
Right?
So all I want you to do for me is to sit back, relax, and try to enjoy this.
Right? So that's what they do. They just sit there and they whisper, and sometimes they'll just tap the desk gently.
Yeah.
They'll just record themselves tapping the desk or like scratching their fingernails on just something
very
really,
relaxing.
Really, really gentle. But that's what people use these for, right? They use them to help them fall asleep.
I actually feel different, and I only listen to 41 seconds of that.
You instantly feel different. It's a whole thing, ASMR, or asthma, as some people call it.
I would hit play on a video and just like close my eyes.
Yes, that's the whole reason for this. And some celebrities have gotten in on the action. The latest is Cardi B. We'll get to that in a second. But who else do you have over there, other celebs who have done ASMR?
Kate Hudson has done one.
Oh,
Margot
has she
Robbie.
Really?
The one I watched this morning was Eva Longoria. She took her nails and just like, she was whispering, but she was like kind of just rubbing them back and forth slowly across a bath towel.
Oh, really?
And then she opened up a bag of like that smart popcorn and just started eating it into the microphone.
But like whisper, because that's another thing that they do is
she was whispering like this, eating the popcorn.
Is they do lip smacking, right? Like they'll just sit there and smack their lips, like stuff that would normally be a real revolting sound.
And then there was another, the end of the video, she just took a Rubik's Cube and held it up to the microphone and started clicking the Rubik's Cube.
Trying to
solve the cube.
Yeah.
And just talking like this.
It's really crazy.
And at one point, like, I legit just closed my eyes just so I could see what it would see. Close my eyes and see. I wanted to know what that feeling was.
Yeah.
And, yeah, dude, relaxing.
So here's Cardi B now getting in on the asthma trend.
My favorite thing about being a mother is that I have somebody to look forward to looking at every single day and night. I get
very anxious to see my baby 24/7. And I love my baby's face.
So they'll just say anything,
and
right?
I love her breath. And I love her smile. And I love how she looks at me. She looks at me like she needs me.
It's a lot of mouth noises too, right?
And at one point in the video, she pulls out like a fuzzy rug.
Excuse me?
Rubbing her hands.
Oh,
across,
no, that drives me nuts. I can't do that.
Across a rug while that whispering.
Can I please get the rug?
That bothers
Thank
me.
You.
She asks for the rug. Why?
I'll tell you in a second.
This rug is very soft. Very warm. Fuzzy.
Yeah,
you just kept saying
crazy.
The word fuzzy,
but people
over and over
love
again.
This stuff, right? No, I can't watch when I see a kid rub their fingertips on a carpet.
Yeah,
it drives me. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
Why?
Or if I see a little kid biting the end of a woolen mitt,
why?
I want to rip my own teeth out. Yeah. I can't handle that.
Why?
I can't do it. It bothers me. It bothers me. Do you want to do some asthma, Maury?
Yes, I would like to.
Oh, okay. Well, I think, do we have to turn your microphone up like really loud? Is that the deal with this?
I don't know. Technology.
You have to whisper quieter.
The one thing I notice about these asthma videos, too, is that they have two microphones set up,
mm-hmm.
right? One specifically feeding audio to your left ear,
mm-hmm.
and then one specifically feeding audio to your right ear.
Oh, really?
So every now and then, so if you watch the Cardi B video,
yeah.
Every now and then she switches microphones and you only hear the sound
really?
From one ear.
I'm fascinated with
How
this.
How do we
man.
Do that? Do I just turn my head?
No, you're not whispering nearly quiet enough, Maury. What do you have right there?
Auto parts.
Auto parts.
What? Auto parts.
I don't think you're whispering quiet enough.
Oh, auto parts.
A little bit louder?
Auto parts.
Yo, okay. I have his microphone cranked all the way up, as high up as it can go.
These are parts of a car.
Okay, a little bit louder than that.
These are parts of a car.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if people can hear you.
Well, that's... Then turn up your radio, everyone.
Okay, go for it.
Flange.
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 We have to be able to hear you more.
Okay, flange. You're such a car nut. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Caliper. 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 Flywheel.
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 Okay.
Crank shift.
Can I just tell you, when I see somebody do this on YouTube, I find it fascinating. But when somebody's doing it in front of you in the room, I just want to grab you and go, speak louder. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, like, but now if everyone turned up the radio, you've just blown their speakers.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Crank shift. Crank shift.
What is a crank shift, Maury?
I assume that's what you change the cranks with.
You want to read that again?
Crank shaft.
Thank you. Making mistakes even while he whispers.
Whisper mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other whisper mistakes you want to make for her?
Puppet valve.
Puppet valve.
Puppet valve.
What does that do? Explain what a puppet valve does in a car to people.
I assume that it's something you stick your hand in and it's a valve. Puppet valve.
Am I still whispering?
Yes.
Or explaining?
No, you're explaining
to
people.
It's a puppet valve. You stick your hand in to change a valve.
Like
a puppet.
Like a puppet.
But it's a valve. Puppet valve.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Can you give us one more? Yes, absolutely. Stop axle.
Stop axle.
Stop axle.
Stub axle.
Stop axle.
What's a stub axle?
It's a little axle next to the big axle.
Oh, hence the name Stub Axle.
I thought it was a guy that you at one time stuffed $20 into his G-string. Stub Axel. Oh, we don't talk about him.
Right.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
What's going on?
How was your night last night?
Pretty good. How was yours?
Yeah, it was
good.
You
didn't know what I did. What did I do? Wait, pasta?
Of course. I always assume that you eat pasta, though.
Once a week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's it? Once a week? I thought you eat pasta more than once a week.
No, really, because when we made sauce, we make our own sauce once a year.
Yeah.
And this year, we got exactly 52 jars that we made.
Oh, I gotcha.
And I love pasta. So we eat pasta once a week to last, so I can have every single week for an entire year. Now, there was 1 week last month where we used two jars. in a week.
Oh,
so I had to skip a week of eating pasta.
You overdid it.
Yeah, so I had to skip 1 week of not being able to eat pasta.
Oh, snap, you overdid it.
So now we're back on the on our routine.
Yeah, I had nachos last night.
Oh, tell me, what'd you put on it?
Jesus. Chicken?
Yeah.
Cut up some like green onion.
Yeah.
Put some pickled jalapenos on there.
Yeah. What kind of cheese? Did you do like a mixture?
Nah, I bought the bag.
Yeah.
I was in a rush. I bought
That's
the bag.
Fine. And then That's
I
do. Okay. No one's judging.
And then green salsa.
Yeah.
And then sour cream on the side.
Yeah.
Because I don't do olives.
And no,
I don't,
not at all.
And no, I don't do olives. And I don't put tomatoes on nachos when I make them either.
I don't like tomatoes on nachos.
I'm fine without
either.
Them. I'm fine without them.
Yeah.
And but my nachos, like I'm not precious about nachos like I am about other things.
Okay.
Tacos I'm very precious about. I can't, but like when I even walk into the grocery store and I see the taco kit that you can buy with like the powdered nonsense.
Yeah.
And it bothers me because really? I'm like, it's so much easier to make way better tacos than that.
Yeah.
Like it's so much easier to make way better tacos. And so when I look at that, it bothers me. But when it comes to nachos, I'm not precious. I don't sit there and grate my own cheese. I buy it in the bag. I do the whole thing.
You know the one thing that bothers me about nachos though?
What's that?
Is those poor little fellas like at the very, very bottom. They get like nothing. They get no toppings whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Speaking of the little guys that get nothing, good morning, Maury.
I had like the best pre-dinner last night.
You had pre-dinner. Did your pre-dinner happen before your husband Matthew gets home?
Yeah, I call it the sneak meal.
Okay.
Okay. you sneak meal at like starting at 6 a.m.
It was shish.
Yeah.
My last night's sneak meal was mushroom cheese poutine.
Excuse me. What
like
is
it's
that?
It's a mushroom cheese sauce on poutine. I ordered it on Uber Eats.
Where do you find mushroom cheese sauce?
I don't know. It comes from Fresh.
Oh. So you order poutine on Uber Eats before Matthew gets there?
Yeah. $9 shows up at my door. I often order
nine
Uber
bucks
Eats.
Plus what though?
Oh, $4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the grand total is plus tax? 10, 9,
12, 13 plus tax.
13 plus tax, so 15.
So you're ordering $15 worth of poutine to eat before your husband gets home and before the two of you are supposed to sit down and eat dinner together?
Yeah, and then we ordered Uber Eats together of pizza.
No, you didn't.
Oh my God.
Why are you Uber eating?
But
Uber
the best part
Eats.
Was we Uber Eats after going to the grocery store to buy food for the week. We got home going, what do you want to order?
How much does a pizza cost you on Uber?
That was $25.
Oh my God.
Wait a minute. But in your building, right? The condo that you live in.
Yeah.
On the ground floor.
Yeah.
There's a pizza joint right there.
Yes.
And so, you guys live on the third floor.
We order from that one often. We wanted to try somebody else's pie.
But why don't you just go get it? Or do they deliver? I did that the other night. I was like, I was on Uber Eats and I was looking at something and I'm like, hold on a second here. These people just straight up deliver.
Yeah.
And so I went on their website and I delivered and it was so much cheaper than using Uber.
Where I usually order soup from, I could walk next door and get it, but sometimes I'd just rather stay in my pajamas. We're at my favorite restaurant where I get lobster wonton soup.
You are the only person that I know that wastes money.
Yeah.
And living a life like you're a millionaire. Meanwhile, you are like in so
much debt. I think the difference is if I actually had all my cash in my hand, I wouldn't spend it as much as just an app.
Right.
It's a game to me.
I know. Even though you love it more, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not the type of guy who eats lobster wonton soup.
I sure as hell am.
No, you're not. No, you're not. The guy who eats lobster wonton soup decides that he's going to eat lobster wonton soup that night on his boat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes I order Uber Eats just because I really love the idea of somebody coming and knocking at my door.
Oh my God.
You think if it's during the day and you're like, yeah, I want to hear a knock.
Yeah, but don't knock in case my husband hears.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Told me that I needed to delete my Netflix account and just start over from scratch.
Why?
Because the algorithms.
Yeah.
So it was a while ago that Catherine started her own account because she just couldn't tolerate my account anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it knows what you like and then it just gives you more of that. So it was very disheartening for Catherine to try and find something to watch on my Netflix account because I watch a lot of drug and prison documentaries and documentaries on murderers and stuff like that.
Okay, but why didn't you guys just get one account and create two different profiles?
That's what she means. She never had a profile before.
Oh, sorry.
Profile.
Gotcha.
So she's telling me that I need to delete my profile and just start from scratch because I've gone too far down the hole one way.
Right.
And there's nothing I can do at this point to clean up
my recommendations. It has gotten to the point, and I took a picture of it last night.
Okay.
Where we were sitting there trying to find something to watch. And you know how they start to create categories for you of things that you may like?
Yeah.
I'm at the point now of where Netflix created their own category for me, simply called violent movies.
Oh my God. And the first movie box there is a picture of Michael Myers.
Right. I now, my Netflix now is creating categories for me.
Oh, no.
And the first one that pops up under like the trending now or the recently added is violent movies.
And they, you know what? They couldn't put you in the category of like scary or horror. No. They had something about it's the word just, violent.
It's just violent.
That's next level.
Yeah, it's, yeah, exactly. It's not horror. It's not psychological thrillers. It's not simply
freaky.
No, it's violent movies. And that is the first thing you see now on my Netflix. And so she can't use my profile anymore.
So I don't know if this might help fix it, but there is a workaround to kind of start fresh without deleting your account and then re-signing up.
Like just let Roxy take over my account for a week and let her watch all her shows to even everything out.
Like Despicable Me 1, 2, and 3. Like the Minions.
I need some
Tangled,
of that.
Some more Disney stuff. No.
Oh.
The workaround, and I don't know if anyone has done this, but if you log into your Netflix account on, let's say, a laptop, right? Okay. And then you go to settings and then find history, you can go in and one by one just start deleting your history of things that you've watched or things that you've searched for on Netflix. And then that way, once that's all cleaned up, it's as if you're starting from fresh. But that may take some time because you guys Netflix a lot.
But then I'm going to be in this situation where I'm going to want to watch a serial killer documentary and I won't know if I've watched it before.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back to the same damn rabbit hole again.
Yeah, well, listen.
That's going to get me to the point of where I'm going to get a category called Violent Movies 2.
You can't hide from us, son.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So with the popularity of Halloween and the success that movie had over the weekend in the box office, LeBron James and his film company wants to revive Friday the 13th.
Oh, really?
Yep.
They did, though.
They did in 2009, and it failed miserably.
So do they want to sort of go back to the beginning and do what they did with...
With Halloween? Yeah. I don't know, maybe. But LeBron James and his film company is the same one that doing the Space Jam sequel.
Oh, so you know they're high-end.
And they hired Ryan Coogler, the guy behind Creed and Black Panther, to produce the Space Jam sequel.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
I forgot Space Jam's going to be a big deal.
It's
going to
be huge deal.
I forgot.
So now, and I don't know if it has to be or maybe it's just the timing. Maybe they were talking about it for a long time, and then it just so happens that Halloween came out this past weekend and killed at the box office.
Yeah.
And that LeBron James and his film company is announcing that they want to produce a Friday the 13th revival.
Well, see, the weird thing with Friday the 13th in the movie,
which I don't know, man. Just leave that movie alone. It's like what they did with Nightmare on Elm Street when they revived that.
Yeah, and they did, and it wasn't that bad. But it's not the same thing. But see, with Friday the 13th, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in the original Friday the 13th, Jason, as we know him, wasn't the killer.
He wasn't?
No. In the original. Was it not his mom?
At the camp? Spoiler alert.
Yeah. It was his mom.
Really?
Yes.
In part one?
Uh-huh.
So was he doing walking around with machete
and stuff? That happened after.
So where was he in part one?
In the lake.
Still dead?
Yeah. Don't you remember the end of part one?
No.
When he come up out of the lake?
That was the end of part one?
Because he drowned, right? That was the end of part one. Maury, can you see if you can me on this,
are
please?
Are you telling me in the original Friday the 13th movie, we never see Jason at all?
No, you do, but it's not Jason.
You're made to think that it's Jason.
Yes.
But that whole time, Jason's at the bottom of the lake.
Maybe I'm nuts. I watched this movie when
spoiler
I was like,
alert,
it came out in 1980. I was six when I watched this. Yeah. Also, terrible parenting.
Pamela Voorhees did all of it. Yeah,
she did. The mom did, right? Pamela. Yeah, yeah.
What you doing, Pam?
Yeah, Pamela was the, and nobody's afraid of Pamela at Halloween, right? Yeah, yeah, nobody dresses up like Pamela. It's all
teased hair, pink dress.
But yeah, no, I'm okay with that because I like what they did with the new Halloween, where they went back and they said, okay, the first one exists and it was a masterpiece, and we all sort of agree on that.
Yeah.
And so let's just, what happens if we just forget about everything that came after it, and will audiences respond? And obviously, you look at what happened with Halloween over the weekend, and they did, and they loved it because so much nonsense happens. That's when like Jason starts fighting aliens and all this garbage throughout the years.
I think that was like part 10 when he went to space.
Exactly. So I think that they could do this as Friday the 13th. I really do.
After the Nightmare on Elm Street one.
Yeah.
Because I had seen all the original.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street movies. And the remake that they did a few years ago, they tried to humanize Freddy Krueger.
Right.
Give him a little bit more of a, quote unquote, not normal, but a little bit more of a backstory to his life. Whereas in the original Nightmare on Elm Street movies, this guy was like, just straight born evil.
Yeah. Well, and that's the problem, is that everybody wants to do too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pamela Voorhees. I'm going to go as her for Halloween. I'm looking at a picture of her.
And?
It looks like my aunt.
Teased hair, pink dress, kind eyes.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
We got a text at like 11:30 last night from a guy who says that he thinks he can do the best impression of both of our laughs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hello?
Yo, Mike, it's Roz and Mocha. How you doing?
Oh, yo, what's going on?
Good, buddy. So you texted when we were sleeping last night. So, Roz, Mike said that he's been listening to the show for 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, thank you for your loyalty, Mike.
You're welcome.
How'd you discover the show? Because we've been on the radio for like 9 years now.
Just driving to work. I just started listening one day, and then now I just been addicted to your podcast, so I'm all caught up in everything.
Oh, wow.
I missed the show, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Love
you
guys.
And you also said in your text, as I just told Roz, is that you think you can do the best impression of both of our laughs.
I believe so. I think I can.
Okay.
Let's start with, who do you want to start with, Mike?
I can do Roz's. I noticed Roz has like three different laughs.
Wow. Damn.
So, well, this is what I think. So he has like that one-liner laugh, kind of goes like this, goes like, and then
that one, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then he has the one where it kind of extends, kind of like slowly, like something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then he has another one after that laugh, kind of goes, sounds like the Babadook, like,
Okay. Wow, that's like, then, bang on.
And then your laugh is just, I love your laugh. It's just, it makes me laugh so much. So,
who, Roz's or Mocha's?
Yours.
Oh, mine. Mocha, okay.
Right.
Yeah. Wow,
that's so
dude.
Funny, dude.
Holy.
Is that good? Does that sound good?
Yeah, dude.
Oh my god, that's like brilliant. Are you like, kidding me?
I didn't even know I had three.
Well, now you know.
Now I'm starting to think if there's a fourth in there somewhere.
It probably is. I just gotta keep looking.
Holy cow, Mike, we appreciate you, bro.
Thank you so much for finally for getting me through. And aren't you going to ask me the infamous question?
I was just going to end our conversation by saying, Mike, before we let you go, between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Sorry, Roz, I got to do this to you, but Mocha's my favorite.
Great.
But I will say this about you, Roz, though.
Yeah.
If there's anything we all know, you're a smooth, cool dude.
Guys. Don't ruin my day, bro.
Yes!
All right.
Mike, you're the best.
Thank you so much, guys.
Later, dude. Brother.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm just trying to make sense out of all this weed stock nonsense that's been going down.
Oh, tanking.
Well, those are the headlines, but I don't know enough about it to say whether it's going to correct itself or if this is
the realities of it, whether it bursts. All I know is I stayed out of buying directly into weed stock.
Samesies.
Simply because the one piece of advice I got when it comes to investing is that when you start getting investment and stock tips from people who have never talked to you about investment or stock tips before, just stay the hell away. Because when it gets to the point of where guys at work who have never before been interested in investing in anything are talking about investing in something, it's too late.
Yeah.
Or it's the wrong move. So I would say wrong move.
Yeah. ASAP.
I stayed out of it directly. Maybe some people are going to make money on it. Maybe not. Moore, you bought what?
I bought... Where is it?
Aurora or Afria? Which one did you buy?
Afria.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. I purchased Afria Inc.
And what is it worth now?
It's $15.87 per. And apparently
How many did you buy?
One.
One.
Oh, you bought one? Hold on.
Oh, so you invested how much? How much was it when you bought in?
So it says it's $13.
Okay. So you spent
and it closed at what yesterday?
$15.87. So I made $2.85.
Okay, great. Okay.
Wow, what are you going to do with all that money, dude? you better talk to a financial advisor.
But I know that everybody's freaking out over weed in Canada, and it's awesome. Yeah. But listen to this. So South Koreans. Uh-huh. So if you are South Korean, not North Korean when I read this story, South Korean. If you're South Korean and you come to Canada on vacation, or if you're South Korean and you come to Canada for school, or if you're South Korean, you come to Canada for a job, whatever it is, South Koreans who use cannabis while in Canada could face criminal charges when they return home to South Korea.
Serious?
Yes. An official from South Korea's narcotics unit gave the message earlier this week saying, marijuana is treated as a serious offense and violators could face up to 5 years in prison.
Out there?
Yes. So,
but they're smoking it out here.
Listen to this. Quote, weed smokers will be punished according to the Korean law, even if they did so in countries where smoking marijuana is legal. There won't be an exception. So on October 16th, the embassy here in Canada sent out a tweet saying, even if South Koreans are in a region where marijuana is legal, it will be illegal for them to consume it. Please take care not to commit any illegal act to be punished. No. Under South Korean narcotics laws, selling, buying, or consuming marijuana is a crime punishable by up to 5 years in prison and up to $57,000.
How are they going
to
know?
They're allowed to test you.
Oh, out here?
There, when you return home.
Okay, what if you like took one toke last Wednesday?
Not cool. You're going to the joint for 5 years.
Yeah, but can you still tell if it's
time,
edible?
By the time, like, let's say if it's like 3 months, right?
Yeah.
You had home for a bit. And if it's like completely out of your system.
Sure.
There's no smell with edibles.
But there's a THC in your system.
Yeah, you still got it in your system.
I know, but you're not going to have like...
What do you think? They smell you when you come home?
How do you... Okay, here's a serious question. How do you think they test you for weed, Maury? Usually they sniff your mouth?
Usually it's like they come up to your car and they smell you, and if your eyes have like a little bit of red in them.
For that long drive from Canada back to South Korea. Come on, the border patrol comes up to your car, right? Is that how it is?
That would be a bitch of a fairy. Oh my God. You think they test you in your car at the border when you're returning home to South Korea from Canada?
With a flashlight.
Right.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
We always love getting your texts, and we always love calling people who text the show.
True.
Hello,
it's Roz and Mocha.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Not bad. What's going on?
Not much. What's your name?
Dylan.
Dylan. All right, so Roz, Dylan's text reads this.
Go for it.
I wanted to start off by saying for Roz that I have been watching the show since I was 11 years old, going to elementary school in my mom's car every morning. I assume you mean listening to the show.
Listening
to the radio show. I am now 23 and have been through college and have a full-time job now. You guys are my inspiration, and I appreciate all the laughs and fun times during the morning. Dylan also goes on to say that every now and then he works in our building. And he'll walk by the
oh, you do?
Yeah, the studio. Maury waves at him through the window and stuff. So what's going on in your life?
Nothing. I've been, working away. I work in your guys' building, like once in a while. I work in the basement as a network technician. And I always see you guys in the window, and I say hi to Maury. Sometimes he waves back a little bit, but it's usually way early in the morning, like 6 a.m. or so.
Oh, right. Okay.
When Maury waves, does he look completely disinterested?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I know. Maury has, like, zero time for anybody.
Yeah, because the studio,
he didn't really smile. He didn't really smile.
To describe the studio, they built us this new studio, and it's incredible. Like, it really is. The facilities inside are awesome, but they wanted it to be really showy offy, and so they put all these windows in it, and the windows lead to like big common areas within the building.
Yeah.
So other people who work in this building can kind of like walk by and look into the studio and see what we're doing.
And we keep the studio completely dark.
Yeah.
Like the only thing on in here are the fluorescent lights that they put in to make the studio look cool. Like all the other bright lights, we turn them off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those lights.
And so, but my back is to the windows. Mocha faces the windows because it doesn't bother him. And Maury sort of sits off to my right in his own room. And he's very close to a window. And when people would say, and he's right around a corner. So people like turn that corner and they always will look in. And if Maury just happens to be looking at the window, he feels forced to have to wave to people as they're walking by. And I always hear, and this is what I always hear. Hang on one sec, Maury. And this is what I always hear. I always know that Maury has just waved at somebody reluctantly, because even in the other room, I hear this. Ready? Which is Maury's hand hitting the table after he was forced to wave to somebody.
I was going to just say that sometimes there are super cute guys, and you want to look, you want to look cool and street,
right? And street,
what do you mean street?
Like you want to look swagger,
right? Maury sometimes gets up on the table and dances like he's one of those ladies in Amsterdam behind glass.
Yeah, like, hey, you want to come in here for some of this?
Well, I have the body for it.
Anyway, Dylan, I just wanted to say thanks for listening to the show, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
They say that 40% of people don't have any life goals.
Oh, yeah? 40%.
40%. According to a new survey, 40% of people say that they have no life goals. And it's not clear if that's because they've already achieved their goals or if they just haven't set any goals and don't care.
They haven't set any.
37% of people say no, they do not have life goals, but they're pretty relaxed about whether or not they've hit them. Only 18% of people said that they're anxious about achieving their goals. 5% said that they don't know if they have life goals, and they don't know if that's better or worse.
Do you have any life goals?
Of a way to live. I don't know if I have life goals. Yeah, I mean, I have life goals as in I want to be a great dad.
Yeah. Okay, so that's one of mine. Like, is that
but I don't think
that be considered?
Well,
I have two that are really important to me.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a life goal. I think maybe like things that you want to accomplish where you could see it through to the end, where it's something that you could really work at and then,
So I have one.
Okay.
I'm going to share with you guys.
Yes, please.
And it has to do with this show.
Okay.
Because I love this show so much.
Sure.
We've started in 2009, and this is I've worked in radio almost 20 years now.
Yeah.
Right? Next year is going to be my 20th year working for this radio station, this company.
Wow.
And this is the greatest show I have ever worked on, and I would not want to do the show with anybody else or a show with anybody else other than you and Dan and Maury.
Okay.
And my life goal for this show is to be the biggest and best in the country.
Okay.
Is to like dominate not only the city of Toronto, but we broadcast in Kingston, Vancouver, Victoria, hopefully other places, Ottawa as well, hopefully other places across the country. And my life goal is to do the Roz and Mocha Show up until there, for whatever reason, there is no more Roz and Mocha Show. We retire, whatever.
Right.
until the very, very, very end, and for this show to be the absolute biggest in the country.
My goal is very similar to yours.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's how we're best friends.
Yeah. I want to build a house.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like by yourself?
Yeah.
With your hands?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's my goal.
That's a good goal.
Yeah.
Dan Mori.
I want abs.
You? Oh, good goal. Oh, you're not alone in that. You're not alone in that.
I want like a nice...
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Can I add to mine?
Abs.
Abs.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Biggest show in the country.
Yeah, also.
Abs.
Also abs. Yes.
So, I know what I'm doing to help contribute to helping elevate this show with you guys, right?
To achieve your goal.
To achieve my goal, right? Yes. So I know what I am doing right now to help achieve that.
Yes.
Dan Mori, what are you doing right now to achieve your life goal of getting abs, other than sitting in the other room eating straight up nonsense from 6 to 10 a.m. every day and then going home to your condo when your husband isn't home and eating nonsense for an entire day?
I try and poop a lot.
Not with the amount of cheese that you eat, bro.
You're trying to... Okay, I know...
That's how you think you eat your abs?
And then I hold in my stomach for like the entire length of an elevator ride.
Right. You're trying to poop your way to good abs?
Yep. Almost there.
Your life goal should be to figure out how you get rid of that wheeze.
Oh my god.
Also, your elevator ride ain't that long. It's two floors, bro.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
They let Mori blow out the candle at the gym yesterday.
Sorry, what? What do you mean?
Okay. You know the cult that Mori goes to?
Soul Cycle?
What's that?
Soul Cycle?
Soul Cycle?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, your spin class. You still do that?
Yeah, with Ty every week.
Yeah, spin cult.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still owe them money?
No, I pay one at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
But there's other gyms that you still owe money to.
Yes, that's very true.
So okay. at spin cult,
uh-huh.
at the end of every class, they let one participant blow out the candle. I guess there's a candle in the room?
There's a candle, yes, that sort of illuminates the stage that Ty is on.
Right.
One candle?
Yeah, and he'll go around and he'll, if somebody who's trying very hard, he'll put it in front of them and you make a wish and blow out the candle.
Right.
Like it's his birthday.
And I haven't had the chance to do this in years.
And he's very upset. Maury's very upset that he's never been asked to.
Do you passive aggressively send Ty DMs like, hey, it would be great if I
used to, and then I realized he wasn't reading them.
No, if it was a DM from Mori, it would be, guess I'm not good enough to blow out the candle.
That was it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess I don't try hard enough in your eyes to get to blow out the candle, huh?
Wow, it's like you're me.
Right, yes, exactly. I know how you write. I know how you try and get things done. So they finally, at Spin Cult last night, let Mori blow out the candle. But they didn't, how do they normally do it? They present it to you and put it close to your face and then you have to blow it out and make a wish?
Yeah. And I saw him coming towards me, and I'm like, all right. So I put some air in my cheeks, getting ready, and I was like, I was glowing.
You have to prepare to blow?
Like,
isn't it just a natural thing?
Yeah,
like,
you just go,
yeah.
There, done. Two seconds.
Yeah.
Not even.
I know, but I was all excited and glowing, so I put air in my cheeks.
Okay.
But he took the bike that was in front of my bike and lifted it and moved it and made an announcement on the mic saying, Mori has wanted to blow out the candle for years, and I'm finally going to give him the chance.
Right.
But instead of just putting the candle in front of my face, he put the candle down by the wheel of my bike, and is like, all right, everyone, let's cheer for Mori. He's going to blow out the candle with his wheels.
Right, so you had to move your wheel fast enough to get enough air to blow out the candle.
I'm pumping and pumping and pumping, and I was going to, like, vomit.
But did you blow it out?
I finally blew it out, and we cheered, and he grabbed my water and sprayed it all over me.
Right? You see what I mean? What the hell kind of gym is this?
It's like the end of the movie Rudy.
Like, who goes to the gym where you blow out a candle and then your trainer just like douses you in with water?
I like moved around as though I was enjoying the water.
Did you like arms above your head?
What?
Like,
yeah, and I grabbed my towel and swung it around.
At a spin class?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You're not practicing for like a magic mic session.
No.
Well, I mean, and he's dancing and stuff. So really, I mean, this is it was like a moment.
Well, there you go. You had your moment. I'm glad that you had your moment because I know it really meant a lot to you to be able to blow out the candle. Like, it really did. It was bothering him.
In fairness, I didn't get to blow out the candle. My bike blew out the candle.
You did it with your efforts.
I know,
though.
But I didn't get to make a wish.
Right. Oh, you didn't make a wish out of all that? You didn't get to make a wish?
No, I never made a wish.
Oh, wait, please. I just don't want to throw up all over myself right now in this moment.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha.
Guys, I called you last week to call my sister and tell her her last name was different. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, now, so they played your clip at the wedding.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Of you guys calling her.
Right.
And everybody was quite disappointed that Dammit Maury didn't take my place.
What do you mean?
Because you guys said in the clip that Dammit Maury was available on Saturday to wear a dress.
Okay.
Well, now one of the girls wants to know how she can get Dammit Maury to come to her birthday party.
Oh, Maury, oh, you want to go to some girl's birthday? Maury just did that. You know that move that some people do where they rub their two fingers and thumb together to signify money?
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's what Maury just did. How much would you cost, Maury? Listen, man, you said money. Now you got to negotiate with this woman.
But where am I going? Where?
I'll negotiate this.
Where is it? What time? How long would you need Dammit Maury for?
Yeah.
Honestly, if he called her on her birthday, that would make her day. It's not till May. I'm just, you know.
But it first started out as you saying she wanted Dammit Maury to show up at the birthday
party. Well, she does, but yeah. I mean, isn't that weird for him?
Well, not
she
for
that. She tried to go to his wedding.
Okay, so Maury, what would you charge for something like that to show up to somebody's birthday?
Well, that's what I was asking. Like, where is it? Like, when? Like,
How far is it?
It's in Bowmanville.
Okay, that's not far. About an hour.
Okay, yeah. Bowmanville. And what time does would the event start?
Probably 7 o'clock because it's a dinner.
Okay, sure. 7 o'clock. So what time?
It's not as bad as.
Would
morning.
You need Dammit Maury to be there? Like, what's the time commitment? 1 hour, 2 hours? What are you saying?
No, like if he just came and said happy birthday, like 15 minutes.
Okay. So you expect him to drive out to Bowmanville, an hour away, to be there for 15 minutes?
Yeah, but again,
just
if the price
to say
is right.
Hi.
Yeah. But if the price is
no, but she's expecting him to do it for free. Which I don't think
no,
is fair.
No, you just settled down for a second.
She asked how much.
He can stay for dinner.
Okay, Dammit Maury, to drive out 1 hour, have dinner with his family, say happy birthday.
Yeah,
on what I would assume would be either a Friday or Saturday night, what would you charge?
I'd say $250.
That's it?
I would be willing to pay that.
Okay, done. Deal done.
Okay.
All right, Maury.
Send us the details, Roz and Mocha at kiss925.com. Let us know. That's our personal email address.
Yeah.
And it's right there, $250.
Right.
And then after we wrap up with you, Roz, you and I will have to discuss what our fee for getting Dammit Maury, because obviously we're going to get a cut of that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course. We'll take our agent fee.
Wait, what?
Yeah. What?
We just brokered this deal for you, bro. You don't think that we deserve a piece of that money?
I have to drive there, eat their food, probably tell some jokes.
Yeah.
What do you just took a call.
Well, yeah.
No.
If they're your agent, they should arrange the transportation, no?
No? Are you crazy?
Sorry, that was not in the initial deal. $250.
Yeah.
We have a deal. Roz and I will discuss what our fee is and discuss that with you, Maury, and send you our invoice.
Yeah, and Maury, I'm gonna send you, I'll actually take care of your transportation. I'm gonna send you a link with your itinerary. I know the top of it. The link is going to read Go Bus, but don't pay attention to that. Okay, it's all set up.
It's just a fancy name.
Yeah, it's just a fancy name.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Let me read this headline to you. Drake scores 12th Billboard Hot 100 Top 10 of 2018, ooh, passing the Beatles for the most in a single year.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting, though, with these stats.
And it doesn't necessarily have to mean that it is a Drake as a solo artist on a song. It's not his own song.
Right.
He could be on a song as a featured artist.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And that's how he racks up these wins.
No, I think that not for records. I think you can celebrate that. It's like, hey, man, we did it again. Look at me and you.
Sure.
I don't think you shouldn't be busting records based on being a feature artist. No chance.
One, two, three, four. So four out of the 12 are not his own songs.
Mm-hmm.
Four out of the 12.
So he has eight.
So he really, as a solo artist, has eight.
Right. That's like how Cardi B was credited with
the Maroon 5 song as being one of her number ones.
Right. Where she's the featured artist.
Yeah, she comes in and does a verse.
I think they should change that rule. You got to be like the main artist.
It has to be your song. Like, it has to be your song.
Yeah. I don't think it could be so-and-so featuring.
It
Cardi
should
be so-and-so featuring Drake.
It should be that if you did a concert, you could play that song on your stage and have it not seem weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
right?
Hold on.
If Cardi B came out and did Girls Like You on stage, she'd either be singing to a recording of Maroon 5 doing it, and then she would just do her own verse, which would seem weird.
But the other end of the argument could be is some of these songs wouldn't become hits without those people, i.e. Despacito with Justin Bieber wouldn't have been as big if not for Justin Bieber. I completely agree. I'm just seeing it from both sides.
I think that Despacito was a huge song.
Mm-hmm. It was not in mainstream sort of our world without Justin Bieber.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that I don't think it was Justin Bieber that made that song. I think it was timing that made that song.
I think it was Justin Bieber that got it played more, that got it into everyone's mindset.
Sure.
Got it onto the radio.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Which then made it a hit.
Yeah, but the song was already a hit, though. It was already a hit in Spanish.
Coming up here.
No, but it was already a hit in Spanish. Like, the song was already a hit.
Yeah, it was huge everywhere
else. But it wasn't as big as it was without that. That's why, like...
No, but the song was a monster hit. This, I don't think Despacito is a great example to use, because that song was released way ahead of time, and it was a big hit. Like, it was a giant. It was already a giant song.
Yeah, I'm just using an example of a featured artist making the song than the song
but
was.
But, like, okay, go back to that Maroon 5 and Cardi B song. That Maroon 5 song, I think... would still have achieved that number one status with
Do you
or
really
without.
Think so?
Yes,
yeah.
100%.
Oh my God, of course. It's Maroon 5.
Absolutely.
Most
but would it have gotten as much airplay on all radio without her?
More, because I think more stations play the non-Cardi B version.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think that song was just great songwriting, Maroon 5, and I think that maybe Cardi B's verse brought it to an audience that may not seek out songs by Maroon 5, but that Cardi B did not make that
then
song.
Then there was the song, the Sia song with Sean Paul. Mm-hmm. When I was traveling around, I heard more of the version without Sean Paul than I did with Sia.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's tough. I don't know, man. I don't know. So what's that number for Drake?
12. His 12th Billboard Hot 100 top 10 hit of the year 2018.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
DJ Khaled showing up at various dates of Beyonce and Jay-Z's world tour, On the Run 2 tour. And the tour wrapped up in Seattle a couple weeks ago. And the numbers are in, Roz.
Okay.
Beyonce and Jay-Z for a 4-month tour. 48 stops.
Okay.
Sorry, 48 shows.
It's a lot of shows.
48 shows.
Yeah.
Over 4 months, okay?
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this is over 4 months. Made $253.5 million.
Yeah.
$144 million more than what On the Run 1 did
That's
in 2014.
Crazy.
For four
That's
months
so nuts.
Of
yeah.
touring. $253.5 million.
It's the biggest stars on the planet that charge. And what do they charge for a ticket price to get a good seat to go see Beyonce and Jay-Z?
Oh,
it has to be
hundreds,
astronomical, right?
Hundreds. And I look at that number and it's crazy because somebody like Bruno Mars, who's also a mega star, right? For his last album, he's been on tour for like 2 years.
Oh, sure. It's a long tour.
2 years.
Yeah.
And Jay-Z and Beyonce, all they got to do is 4 months worth of tour and $250 million in their pockets.
Yeah, but that's because they're it's not like Bruno Mars has the option to do that.
No, I know.
It's because they're Beyonce and Jay-Z. And also, I assume that they always go on the road because they hate each other.
So they need something to do.
Yeah, it gives them an opportunity to just not spend time together. Because I think it's easier for them to be apart on the road than it is at home.
I think that when you're at home,
Beyonce doesn't trust Jay-Z.
No, I think that when you're at home, you're in the same house. I think that you have downtime.
Same routine.
It forces you to build a routine together. I think that when you're on the road, I think that Jay-Z is his people and Beyonce is her people, and they could not even see each other until they show up on stage.
Yeah.
I think it's a very easy life when maybe you don't want to spend time with somebody. I know that people think that they're probably up in each other's grill because they're on tour together. I think it's far easier to not spend time with somebody.
They're spending way more time apart.
Way more time apart.
Probably the most amount of time that they spend together is literally on that stage.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say that to me, it seems very convenient that whenever there's rumors of there's a rockiness in their relationship, the first thing they do is go on tour.
Beyonce and Jay-Z sold 2,177,000 tickets.
Oh, Jesus.
2,177,000 tickets.
God, that's a lot of money.
Each show averaged $5.28 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Like the situation, I guess, because he's got to do prison time, right? He's got to go to jail for tax evasion.
8 months, right?
I think maybe 5 months. So, Mike, the situation will start his term behind bars for tax evasion. They're giving him until January so he gets to spend the holidays with friends and family, I guess.
And get married.
January 15th, 2019. He was supposed to begin his 8-month sentence earlier this month, but now that he does get this extra time, he's going to be one of those guys that's going to the joint. But before he goes to the joint, yeah, he's going to marry his fiance on November 1st.
The one thing, because I'm still, like, I still watch Jersey Shore every week. And the one thing that I noticed, and I could be wrong, but I don't think that they plan to have air as many episodes back to back to back as they have, because the season should have wrapped. Like, this version of the season, season two of this round, should have ended, I believe, 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. But they keep rolling new episodes. And I think that they're doing that because they're still filming all of the Mike situation stuff like that's happening right now. Right? So I think that they're just trying to load up as many episodes as they can. Just keep rolling with it, because there's going to be an 8-month period where the sitch ain't going to be around.
That's right.
Maybe 5 months.
Yeah.
And they'll still be able to film stuff with the rest of the cast if that's what they decide to do.
So that's a lifetime, though, in television time.
Yeah.
When somebody's off a show for 8 months, that's a huge amount of time.
And I
that's
think maybe they want to kind of keep with the somewhat keep with the timeline of what's happening in real life. So it won't be that long until we see the episode of where Mike has to go to court for his sentencing that just happened.
Oh, it's going to be so good. And also, I don't know if you saw this, but a lot of people were devastated when Jerry Springer was canceled.
Yeah. Don't tell me he's coming back.
Well, no, the Jerry Springer show is not coming back. That show was on the air for 26 seasons, by the way.
Jerry!
26 seasons. They did 4,000 episodes. So you know that there's a market for Jerry Springer. So even though the Jerry Springer show is going off the air, it will almost immediately be replaced with Judge Jerry.
Sorry, what?
Jerry Springer is reportedly going to start a new courtroom show called Judge Jerry. It'll be just like Judge Judy, only with Jerry. Because I guess you don't have to actually be a judge to be a TV judge.
Judge Judy's not a real judge?
I don't know what Judy, whether she is or not. I think she has a law background. I don't know whether she's an actual judge. I think she's an actual judge. But Jerry Springer's not a judge, but he's just going to judge people.
Jerry!
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Can't wait to get home and eat. I know, for some of you, maybe like just got to the office, or you're on your way almost at the office, by 10:30 this morning, I'll be at home sitting at my kitchen table eating a big bowl of pasta with sauce and sausages.
Really?
Oh, I can't wait.
For the morning, huh? And then what do? You sleep after that? You'd have to lie down.
I might lay down for like an hour.
Yeah, when you lie down, where do you go to lie down?
On the couch, always. But never
in the bed, right?
Last week I took a nap in the bed, but only because I was feeling sick.
Yeah.
So I slept for like 2 hours.
And Jenna doesn't mind you sleeping on the couch, right?
No.
No. See, I always get yelled at. Not yelled at, but Catherine feels, she feels that I'm wasting a nap. If I pass out on the couch.
It's not that Jenna.
She tells me to go to the bed. She tells me to go to the bedroom.
Yeah. So Jenna will say, like, wouldn't you feel more comfortable in the bed, or wouldn't you feel more comfortable sleeping on the couch in the basement?
Yeah.
Only because she doesn't want to feel like she has to tiptoe around the house. When I'm trying to sleep, right?
Yeah, but you can't get tucked in if you're on the couch. I like going to bed so that Matthew will come in and tuck me in.
Does he, though?
When he comes home for lunch every day, he'll still come in and I pretend to sleep just so I can hear him go, "It's baby."
Ew.
That's weird.
What does he say?
"It's baby."
That's so weird, dude. And then he'll tuck me in.
Does he say that before he tucks you in, or does he tuck you in and then?
While he's tucking me in, fixing the blankets, "It's baby, it's baby.
It's baby."
Wait, now when he says "it's baby," is he referring to you like you're the baby, or is he like making an announcement that he's there, the like, "Hi, it's baby, your baby."
And it's me, because he also says the same thing to when he sees a dog, he'll say "it's baby" to the dog too.
So what does that mean then, when he says "it's baby"? What is he trying to say
cute
with
things
that?
Are "it's baby"?
Cute things are "it's baby."
Like if he sees a dog on the TV, "it's baby." But so, if he sees me, "it's baby."
And so when he sees you in bed, when he comes home for lunch, he just whispers the word "it's baby."
Yeah.
See, man, everything is creepy to me now. After I watched The Haunting of Hill House, nothing is sweet anymore. Nothing.
Don't ruin it.
Nothing. Because I would, man, if I'm lying in bed and somebody came in and whispered in my ear, "it's baby," I'd sell the house. Right? I'd sell the house.
That's a sign that in like 10 seconds, you're dead.
Yeah, that show's ruined all sort of little things. Catherine leaned over the other night and put her hand on my shoulder when we were in bed.
Yeah.
And I was literally getting my jammies on, calling a realtor. I'm like, we gotta sell this place now. We gotta sell this place now.
All the stuff in it will come with the house.
Oh.
We'll go buy new stuff.
Listen, burn it to the ground. It's baby. It's baby. It's baby. No, not for me.
But keep in mind, you're supposed to be sleeping when he says that.
Ugh, and the idea that you fake sleep when your husband comes home is also weird. Yeah. If you're awake, say hi.
No. Then I don't get the "it's baby."
No, because then you'd have to talk to him.
And that.
Right.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Steph Curry needed 3 quarters last night to score 51 points.
Oh, my God.
Steph Curry is the only player in NBA history with multiple 11-plus threes made in a single game, and he now has 6.
That guy's just the man.
Can you believe that?
I know everyone's like, "King James, King James, King James."
Yeah.
But I think the Lakers won last night. It was their first win of the season. They played enough games already.
Yeah.
And Steph Curry is just dominating.
51 points in 3 quarters. 51 points in 3 quarters.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Who does that?
I have no idea.
A superhuman.
And I didn't watch the game, but I think they sat him for the fourth. I think he only played 3 quarters last night.
Yeah, take time, bro.
Yeah.
You've earned it.
Yeah, you are.
Listen, you want the next 3 games off? Sure.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done anything in my life so great that somebody, you know what I mean? Where somebody was like, "You don't need to finish this very important thing that we're all doing and have a ton of money riding on it." I don't think I've ever done anything like that. I don't think I've ever done a job that well where I've exceeded just the expectations beyond not what are set out in front of you, but what are beyond belief almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I've never been even close to being in that position.
So the Lakers,
where what you do as you're doing something, people are looking at you going, "I've never seen another human being do this before this well."
Yeah.
Right. Most of us will never be in that position ever.
But to rack up like 51 points.
Right.
Like the Lakers, for example, you know, obviously the importance of this is because LeBron James, the greatest player in the world, went over to play for the Lakers. And there's so much promise there. They won their first game. They played 4 games already for the season, and they won their first one last night against Phoenix, 131 to 113.
Yeah.
And LeBron James scored 19 points.
Right.
Whereas Steph Curry scored
51 and 3 quarters.
Oh my God, that is so crazy.
Like, what are you best at? What is the thing that you do better than anything else you do? Do you even know? I don't think most of us know.
I don't know.
What we're best at.
The absolute best. Like, you're up here and everyone else is down here, and there's nobody else that could come close.
Even personally for you, what do you do better than you do anything else? What is the thing that you do best?
Like lifting weights?
You don't lift weights better than you do anything else. I think you probably drive a car better than you lift weights. And yeah, an idiot can drive a car.
I would do that. Yeah, I would say car.
You think driving is the best thing you do?
Shoot, I don't know, man.
Like, what's the best thing you do? Maury, what's the best thing you do? I don't think people can answer this question, to be honest with you. I don't think regular mortal human beings that aren't Steph Curry can answer the question.
I was going to say reading in my head.
Reading what? In your head, you do better than you do anything else. Yeah. And you still can't get through a page and a half in a day.
Oh, burn.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Roz, we got to call Deborah. Or it might be Deborah.
Oh.
It's spelled D-E-B-O-R-A.
Okay, as far as I know from Deborah's, that's the right way to spell Deborah. Deborah's with an O do not like people who spell Deborah D-E-B-R-A.
Oh, really?
No.
So this is a Deborah. We'll find out. Okay. She texted us. It was like 9:30 last night.
Hello?
Yo, Deborah, it's Roz and Mocha. What's going on? We got your text last night.
Yes.
Now, is it Deborah or Deborah?
No, it's Deborah. I was on the podcast like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you were?
Oh, you were. Okay.
Yeah.
So here is the text. I'll read you the text, Roz, that Deborah sent last night. I know how much Roz loves feeling old.
Oh.
I've been listening since before you guys were on the air. I think it used to be another show. It's actually a show that all three of us had worked on before. Prior to working on this show together. I've been listening since elementary school, and now I'm an elementary school teacher.
Oh my God.
I specifically remember a moment where Roz said he used to sign Bibles.
Oh, I did.
I was horrified. He was the first person to use the word atheist in my life. I had no idea what that was. Now I'm obsessed with the podcast. Wow. I haven't listened to music after 10 a.m. in months.
Yeah.
When you guys play music, I play the podcast. Keep doing what you do. Your biggest fan, Deborah.
Wow.
Deborah.
No, I'm just playing.
Yeah, that was years ago when I first started traveling. Anytime that I would go into it, and it's, oh my God, I don't even want to tell the story again because I don't know how well it's going to play in 2018, but no. I'm not going to hide from my, I'm
quite
not going to hide from my
2009.
Past. Yeah, I'm not going to hide from my past. Whenever I would be in a hotel room, and there's always two things that you can guarantee on the nightstand. One is the little pad and hotel pen, and then in the drawer there's the Bible.
Yes.
And I would autograph Bibles, but I wouldn't autograph them as like me. I would autograph them like, thanks for the love, Jesus.
Yeah, right? I specifically remember that.
So like somebody would open the Bible and they'd be like, oh my God, this one's signed.
Like Jesus was here.
Yeah, right? which I thought was a victimless crime.
Right.
Right.
But now there are all these Bibles in hotel rooms right across the US of A.
Right.
That say, thanks for the love.
Yeah.
Or good looking out.
Yeah.
Or pay attention to page 163.
Yeah.
Jesus.
My favorites where I would just do like, I would make it even more personal where I'd be like, enjoy your stay.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so I used to do that. I don't autograph Bibles anymore though. It's hard. I haven't seen a lot of Bibles in hotel rooms, to be honest with you.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. They seem to have phased that out.
They got freaked out.
Yeah.
They were being time.
Right. They're right. Exactly. Because of the ghosts.
Hey, Deborah, thanks so much for your text last night.
Thank you. Actually, I have a question. Are you guys picked up on another station, the more east we drive? Because my commute is sometimes 2 hours east of the city, and it cuts off at about Durham. And I have to put on the podcast because I can't hear it anymore.
Yeah, we...
Is there another station?
We're in Kingston.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. What's the station in Kingston?
1027.
1027.
It's KISS as well.
Yeah, we're on KISS 1027 in Kingston.
Okay.
And then on in Ottawa.
Yep, at KISS in Ottawa.
And then we're on in Vancouver and Victoria.
KISS in Vancouver and Victoria.
Yeah.
I drive out to like Prince Edward County sometimes, so.
Oh, wow. I love it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I work out there, so it's every day, right? So it sucks because it cuts off like right at the good parts.
Yeah, well, you should be able to pick it. Try switching over to the Kingston station, because I think that people don't realize that when they listen to the show, it's like this giant collective of, you know, Victoria, Vancouver, Toronto, Ottawa, Kingston. Like, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people. You're part of a real big group.
Nice. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Deborah. Love you.
Bye. Take care.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Megyn Kelly's apologizing for saying that blackface on Halloween was A-OK.
What is racist? So truly, you do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on blackface for Halloween, or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween. Like, when I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as like a character.
If somebody feels like something is offensive to them, then you should say it, and that's fair game. And you should be able to take it if you're going to dress up like that.
Yeah, you got to be able to take it.
Yeah. One of the things I mentioned is people dressing up like Nazis and this. If you think it's offensive, it probably is.
Yep.
There was a controversy on The Real Housewives of New York with Luann, as she dresses Diana Ross, and she made her skin look darker than it really is, and people said that was racist. And I don't know, I felt like, who doesn't love Diana Ross? She wants to look like Diana Ross for one day. I don't know how like that got racist on Halloween. It's not like she's walking around.
I have not seen it.
So I don't know how you feel about that, but Megyn Kelly got a whole lot of backlash online. She said that when we had the discussion about the controversy of making your face look like a different race as part of Halloween costume, I suggested that this seemed okay if it was done as part of this holiday where people have the chance to make themselves look like others. I realize now that such behavior is indeed wrong, and I am sorry. The history of blackface in our country is abhorrent. The wounds too deep. I remember, though, and I'm not defending Megyn Kelly at all. I remember when Billy Crystal used to be Sammy Davis Jr. on Saturday Night Live, and he was amazing at it, and people thought he was a genius. And Eddie Murphy would play, who's the white guy that Eddie Murphy used to play all the time?
Oh, just like a white news reporter.
Like the white news reporter. Yeah. And I thought that was hysterical, because you just create the character, but I couldn't see.
Dave Chappelle did it, too.
Dave Chappelle did it, too, right? Which is, I think that when it's, I don't know, I find that fine. Like, I don't have a problem with that. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
different time, though, right?
It is a different time. Yeah, no, it is a different time. But to say that something is just okay, because what that means is that it's okay for everyone. So that means that Megyn Kelly is saying that it's okay for people who just want to look like Diana Ross. But then it would also have to be okay for people who are just wildly racist and want to be offensive.
For sure.
Because you can't just be okay for some people. So that's why we as a society have said, let's just not do this.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that for Halloween. You can come up with a better idea.
Totally.
Like, why even do that? You know, and as they said, if you think something might be racist, it's like when somebody says to you, like when a friend goes, they tell you a story and they go, so what's your take on that? Like, is that cheating? I'm like, if you have to ask if something is cheating, probably is cheating. Yeah. Right? Probably is cheating. If you have to ask if something is racist,
ask
probably
that
racist.
Question first.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hold on.
Yeah, sorry. The polka dot door. Let's peek through the polka dot door. Songs and stories and so much more. Let's look through the polka dot door. This is the time we always say, get ready, get set for Animal Day. People and pets get together and play. So come in the polka dot way. You don't even have to do anything after that. There needs no explanation to play the theme song for Polka Dot Door.
The Polka Dot Door and Polkaroo are in the news.
No. What'd Polkaroo do? He's not a Me Too, is he?
No, okay. But a guy who was in the Polkaroo costume for like 20 years.
Yeah.
Has been sent a letter by TVO. A cease and desist notice.
Why?
Because last week, when weed was legalized, this guy who played the Polkaroo showed up at a event in celebration wearing a costume that looked much like the Polkaroo.
No.
But he was called the Tokaru.
Oh, no. And it's the same guy?
And it's the same guy. No.
Does it say his name, who he was?
Mark Scott.
Oh.
His name's all over the news.
Wow.
So he showed up last week at a legalization celebration.
Yeah.
At a park in Toronto as the Tokaru.
Yeah, you can't do that, man.
So,
can't do that.
TVO sent him a letter. Like, fam, what you doing?
You can't do that. That's not cool.
Like, we all know Polka Dot Norm been off the air for years, but people know who the Pokaru is.
Of course they do. The so Pokaru is such a huge part of people's childhood.
So you can't show up to an event and call yourself the Tokaru. looking exactly like the Pokaru.
No, come on, man. What are you doing? You can't do that. That's awesome.
I know.
I sort of love that, though. There's a part of me that really loves that.
So that's what's happening in the world of the Polka Dot Door.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
All right, Mocha, for the podcast. Are you ready?
Nope.
Oh. You ready now?
Hold on.
Oh. Why are you never ready? We don't do anything.
Because it's a podcast and we have unlimited time.
Oh.
Okay. Now I'm ready.
Let's do the news!
A Roz and Mocha Show and KISS 92.5 News Break.
I don't know how reliable this is, but the story goes that Rihanna actually turned down the Super Bowl halftime show.
What?
To show support for Colin Kaepernick.
Wow.
Yeah. It appears that Maroon 5, they say, was not the first choice to perform the Super Bowl.
Oh, no.
According to Us Weekly, Rihanna was offered the gig, but turned it down in solidarity with Kaepernick. They say the NFL and CBS really wanted Rihanna for next year's performance in Atlanta. An insider reveals they offered it to her, but she said no because of the kneeling controversy. She doesn't agree with the NFL stance. And we all know how Colin Kaepernick feels about that. So that's from Us Weekly. Question for you. When are you officially middle-aged? What is the year you officially hit middle-aged? Let me give you some examples here of how they determine how you feel middle-aged.
Yeah.
Okay. They say that you're more passionate about politics than ever. You suddenly love going to stores like Home Depot. You've accepted the fact that you'll never fit into your old clothes again. You've started really enjoying spending money on boring home improvement projects. Like putting in a new fence or flooring.
Yeah.
Going on a cruise suddenly sounds like a lot of fun. You realize that you are older than most of the actors and musicians you like. You thought you'd never need glasses, but now you do.
Holy cow.
You notice wrinkles and gray hair, but not on your head and face.
Oh my God.
Almost like you're describing yourself.
You have a harder time tolerating other people's nonsense.
What did I say?
Great follow-up. The timing for that could not have been any better.
And number one, you start noticing a lot of your coworkers are young enough to be your kids. So what?
Stop looking at me, bro.
What age does that happen?
I'm going to say 44.
44. Shut up. Is that because I turned 44 on Monday?
I'm going to say 44.
You're such a jerk. Maury?
Well, it's not 50 because nobody really lives to 100. So I'm going to say it's honestly like 45.
No, I want you to lie.
Yeah, 45.
Yeah, 45. 47 is what they say.
Oh, okay.
47. You want to peep my gray chest hair?
Sure.
Yes.
Because you know how I shave a V, right, for my shirts? I don't even trim down the whole thing anymore. I literally just shave a V in my chest. So when I open my shirts.
You just have a hairy V.
I have a hairy V. But look at that. Can you see that gray, Maury? Come in here and take a look
at
this.
I've never seen gray hair on a chest. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4. There's like...
Don't count them, you jerk. Let me read you this headline. Haunting of Hill House on Netflix is so scary that it's making people vomit.
Yeah. Holy. I don't know. Man, I don't know if I'm going to watch this show.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this show all week, and we get the same reaction, whether it's on Twitter or text at 925-555, where people are legit freaking out.
Yeah.
We read a text from one lady yesterday who said she gets so scared that in the dark, at night, when she's sleeping or when she's in the shower, she closes her eyes and says the Our Father.
Right.
After watching the show.
But yeah, some of the reactions still coming in about this show is just incredible. There is one jump scare in the show that is so genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
and one of the best jump scares I've ever seen in a movie or a TV show ever. Like, ever. And we all know what a jump scare is, right?
Yeah.
When things are seemingly fine and normal, and then something happens.
All of a sudden.
The show is full of jump scares. Don't get me wrong. It's full of jump scares. But there's one jump scare in Hill House that is... The human body is incapable of not actually jumping and making a sound.
And
that's how incredible it is. Can
we just remind everybody, this is a TV show and not a movie. It's a TV show that's doing this to people.
Pete Davidson has broken his silence about his split from Ariana Grande.
I didn't watch SNL on the weekend.
It did not happen on SNL.
Oh.
He was in... down in the state, he was in Hollywood doing a comedy night with, I believe, Judd Apatow.
Oh, okay.
And Pete was on stage, and he says, well, as you can tell, I don't want to be here. Because there's a lot going on. Does anybody have any open rooms looking for a roommate? And he then went on to talk about how he had Ariana's logo tattooed on his neck, but before that he tattooed his ex-girlfriend's name, Cassie David, on him as well. And he says, I've been covering a bunch of tattoos, that's fun. I'm effing 0 for 2 in the tattoo department. And he goes, I'm afraid to get mom tattooed on me, that's how bad it is. And he goes on to say, so obviously, you know, we broke up or whatever, but when me and Ariana got engaged, we got tattoos. And it was in a magazine, like one of those magazines, where the headline was Pete Davidson stupid? And 93% said yes. So my friend came over and was like, don't listen to that, man. And then the other day we were in the kitchen and he goes, yo, bro, turns out you were stupid. If you ever wanted to find out who is to blame for the Kardashians... Not them as a family, but them as a television entity. Who was the one, the first person that sat there with them and went, man, you know what you guys should do? Film all of this. People will love it. Kim Kardashian was on the Alec Baldwin talk show that nobody watches. So we'll play
Alec
that for
Baldwin
you now.
Has a talk show?
Yeah, where Kim reveals who the person is that is actually to blame.
We thought, okay, who's going to watch this? We think we're funny. We think we're entertaining. But
who's the friend of your mother that said,
Kathy Lee Gifford,
you guys should have a camera in here and shoot this.
Yeah. And so we did. We got one and it hasn't left. And it's honestly, it's so much fun. I get to work with my family every single day. I get to be home, see my kids more. Couldn't have dreamed of a better job. Had no clue it would last this long. We thought maybe we'd be lucky to get a season two.
Yeah,
wait,
I get
Kathy Lee Gifford?
Kathy Lee Gifford is the friend of the mom who said, man, you guys should really film this. I think you got something here. And then they did.
I thought my answer prior to knowing this was going to be Ryan Seacrest because it's his production company behind that show. Yeah. And I thought because he's friends with all of them.
Yeah.
That he would have pitched that idea to them.
He produced it, but he didn't, it wasn't his idea. Also, when Kim Kardashian says, I get to do this.
Yeah.
There's a generation of people who that's normal speak for them. The other thing I realized is that same generation of people pronounce important.
Important. Oh, yeah, important.
Important.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, this is so important. Right?
It is.
It's an entire generation of people who say important.
What about an entire generation of people that still says your guys's?
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Yours guys. One ticket, possibly more. At least one ticket was sold in South Carolina for last night's $1.6 billion Mega Millions jackpot.
No.
Yeah. Yeah,
the states, one single ticket.
Yeah, well, it could be more, but they know definitely that one ticket for the $1.6 billion draw was sold in South Carolina. The numbers 28, 75, 62, and 65 with the mega ball of 5.
Get out of here.
The odds of winning the $1.6 billion jackpot were 1 in 302 million.
I really hope it is one person with that one ticket that wins all that money.
$1.6 billion.
That's crazy.
Jeez. A Titanic replica is set to retrace the Titanic's maiden voyage in 2022.
What?
So they built a boat for $500 million that is an exact replica of the Titanic. It's called Titanic 2, and it's scheduled to embark.
Original name, guys.
In 2022.
Yeah.
So first it's going to go from Dubai to Southampton, England. Then Titanic 2 will retrace the original Titanic's ill-fated and only trip from England to New York. It's going to carry the same number of passengers, the same number of crew.
Oh, my God. This is has disaster written all over it.
But they say the big difference is that Titanic 2 will include all the necessary safety features and life-saving equipment.
Yeah, but what about them icebergs?
Well,
then
that's
not the true experience.
Then it's not the true experience. You're right, Maury.
No,
like I should get on Titanic 2. Yeah. I should get on Titanic 2 and look over the side and see two life rafts, right?
Yeah, I know. And it should they should mimic what happened. Like they should have a scare night.
No, scare night?
Are you nuts?
That. Nobody would ensure that. No, I'm just saying
this
that.
This isn't a good idea, guys.
If you're going to make a replica, man, make a replica.
I don't know. I would go on this,
by the way.
Modern Family promised that they were going to be killing off a significant character this season.
Yeah.
Because families do deal with death and they wanted to sort of take this head on in the show. And now fans are extremely disappointed.
I didn't hear the news yet. Can I guess?
Yes.
Is it Luke?
No.
The son?
Nope.
Is it Alex, the daughter with the glasses?
No.
Is it Jay, the grandfather, aka Al Bundy?
No.
It can't be Sofia Vergara because she makes like the most money out of anybody in Hollywood right now on TV.
Modern Family said that they were killing off a quote significant character.
Oh my God, it's not Cam. Please don't say it's Cam.
It was revealed.
Yeah.
That the significant family member on Modern Family who will die this season.
Just say it.
Jay's ex-wife Dee Dee, played by Shelley Long, who has been on 7 episodes over 10 seasons. Over 10 seasons of television, she's done 7 episodes, and she is the, quote, significant character who will be dying this season.
Come on. Lame. If you were to take all 7 of those episodes and string together just her parts, I don't even think you would have a full 30-minute episode.
No. Like, why not Lily?
Yeah, ain't nobody like Lily.
Nobody likes Lily.
No.
I mean, I know she's a kid and all, but she's a character, right?
Yeah, nobody likes the movie.
Roz and Mocha Q&A.
Ask Roz and Mocha. Man, I love this part of the podcast. A lot of people do as well, Roz.
Yeah.
Every week at Kiss925 on Instagram, we'll post a picture that says, Ask Roz and Mocha. And then you get to ask your question, and we will invite one of you to join us on the podcast. Okay? I believe, is she on the phone?
Yes.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us on the podcast and, more importantly, for asking your question.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
How old are you, Melissa?
24.
24. You married? You single?
I am dating a guy. We've been together for 6.5 years.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so what is your question?
So I started a new job this year. I'm a teacher. And last year I was at a different school and I absolutely just loved my job. And this year I'm at a new school in a new position and I totally hate it. I go home a lot and cry. And I just have a really hard time separating school with my home life. So my question is, how do you guys leave work after a bad day or even a bad week and go home and still be in a happy mood for your significant others and your kids?
Sure. So when you bring home all the negativity, all the bad stuff that that happened to you during the day at the job that you hate, can you explain what is it that you bring home with you? And what happens once you get home and you're there with your boyfriend?
So we have a lot of behaviors at our school. So kids flipping desks and shouting. So it's a lot of anxiety and just I come home and I'm stressed. And so I come home and need to talk about it, but it comes more out as complaining.
Yeah.
And so when I go home, my boyfriend's not actually home till later, 9 or 10 at night. So by that time, I've kind of diffused. But a lot of the time, I'll call him while he's coming home from work and complain about it. And it's dampering his mood. And I know that's not fair, but it's just, it's hard when I feel like I just need to talk about it.
Yeah.
And maybe he's not the right person to always talk about it with. But I feel like that's kind of what he's there for, right, to help me and support me, and he does, but I just feel bad telling him every day, like, the same things, the same kids, the same staff who don't support me. Mm-hmm.
If it makes you feel any better, Melissa, you're not the only person in this situation that goes home from a long day after being at a job that you totally despise and then want to talk those things through with the person that you are living with. So just first and foremost, know that you are not the only one in that position.
You can't, no, and nobody should take all of their bad day and bring it home and throw it at the person that's supposed to make you happy.
Exactly.
Couple things that you can do. You can talk to your boyfriend and you can ask for space and you can ask for help, but I don't think you can ask them to take this on. I don't think that you can ask them to sit and take the abuse by proxy, I guess, that you take all day, right? Mm-hmm. You can ask for help. Yeah. You can say, what I need. I'm stressed. You know this. I come home and cry. I need help with something. And you can ask him to help you with something, but you can't mm-hmm. just come home after a terrible day and throw your terrible day at the person you live with. You can't do that. Nobody can do that, because the things that make you happy have to be able to make you happy, right? Mm-hmm. So if your mm-hmm. boyfriend is the thing, the chief thing in your life that brings you happiness and that relationship, you have to allow that to happen. Okay. So you have to let mm-hmm. your boyfriend do what you love about your boyfriend, which is his ability to sort of take you away from those feelings. You can't just throw stuff at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't get over it either, because then that becomes your routine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you can't do that. You would hate it if he did that, because then all of a sudden your life at home becomes him listening to about your terrible day and all the awful people that you work with and the horrible circumstance. And it's going to get to the point of where he's just going to look at you and go, so quit.
Yep. That's happened already.
I was just going to ask, has he ever said that to you?
He has.
I can imagine that you aren't in a position where you can, like, just be like, sure, no problem, I'm going to quit now and then go find another job at another school. Because for teachers, that's one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I have three pieces of advice for you. And if I have a terrible day, I will usually do the same thing on my way home, which is I will get the car that takes me home to drop me off about 5-10 minutes away from where I actually live.
Yeah.
And I walk.
Yeah.
Even if it's minus 30 out, I'll still walk. So I'll take those 10-15 minutes to just walk. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's alone before I get in the house. The other thing, I strongly recommend this, and I know it sounds weird, but you need a hobby. You need a hobby that has nothing to do with what you do for a living.
Yeah.
Something that you're interested in, maybe something that you and your boyfriend can do together, something that requires a challenge and concentration. You need a hobby. The other thing you need to do is you need to become stronger.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Right? You got to become stronger. Yeah. We all have to become stronger. And when you're dealing with that stuff consistently where it's driving you nuts and it's ruining your day at school, you got to be stronger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These problems that you have at work, I think are a big part of this. And are they fixable?
No,
they're not.
Not fixable.
No.
And it's nothing you've done. It's not like you are not qualified where you then have to learn to get better at doing what you do to fix this problem.
I don't believe so. Like, I think what I can control is how much I let it kind of eat away at me and how much time I spend doing, like, lesson planning and stuff at home. But when I'm at school, like, I can't control the staff that I work with. I can't control how they treat me or how the kids behave. So I think a lot of it's out of my control.
Yeah. So then we're back to you just got to be stronger.
Yeah, exactly.
To go along with what Roz was saying, Melissa, when he said that you need a hobby, my question to you is, outside of spending time with your boyfriend, what makes you happy? Like, what activities can you think of that bring a smile to your face and, like, really make you forget about anything and everything else?
I actually teach dance outside of school at a studio that I grew up in, and I do that twice a week, and that makes me really happy.
Have you ever tried, and this is like not a joke, but have you ever tried meditation?
I do hot yoga, actually. Oh, I haven't in a while. Oh. Yeah.
You should get back into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? After work, because you said you have, from the time you get home to when your boyfriend gets home, because he works late, and mm-hmm. you said like 10 o'clock at night, right? So from the time that you get home until he's home, that's a long time. That's a long stretch of hours that you could fill for you and making you feel better and concentrating solely on you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my suggestion, my recommendation would be to take that time, the advantage that you have with that time, and concentrate on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Two things I think that when we're in relationships, long-term relationships, that you start to feel that aren't options for you anymore with the person that you live with. And one is asking for space and the other is asking for help. And I think that you can do both of those things continuously throughout a relationship.
Yeah.
And you should always be allowed to ask for space, and you should always be feel that you have the freedom to ask for help from the person that you're with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Hope that helps. Maury, do you have anything you want to add?
Eat.
Maury says eat when you get home. That'll make you feel better.
Oh, that's bad. I did that all the time.
Honestly, can I suggest one thing that works for me sometimes?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Sure.
Word of a lie.
No, yeah.
Role playing. If you put a picture up of the people that you are having an issue with and talk to those pictures and say to those pictures what is bothering you,
right.
Sometimes it helps.
Right.
Is that what you do at home every day when you get home?
Who do you have a picture of at home? Don't say me, you weirdo.
He's looking right at you, bro. Like, right in your eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, Maury.
I need a new one, though. I need one with a beard. I have an old photo.
Maury, look at Roz right now and pretend it's a picture of Roz on the wall in your condo. What is the last thing that you said to that picture of Roz?
Let me just do this. Let me just take a selfie. There we go. All right, Maury. Here, look at my phone and talk to the picture of me so you don't have to be embarrassed by looking at me
but
in the face.
But you're the one holding the photo.
No, take my
phone.
He's
going to turn his back.
Right there. I'll turn my back.
Okay.
I'll turn my back.
It's a very blurry photo.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't get the good stuff, Maury.
Okay.
Okay.
Never do.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Hun, why did you honestly put your hand up to stop me from talking the other day? I wanted to speak, but you wouldn't let me speak. Why is it that you looked at me through the glass when I was eating something and you gave me a dirty look? I was hungry and I just wanted to eat my banana. That's the last thing I said to picture Roz.
Wow.
Wow. And that was yesterday, right?
Yes.
Also, we all heard correctly when you called him hun.
Yeah, exactly. I heard nothing after that, by the way.
You said to say what I said.
No, I hear nothing. Man, when you call, if you call me hun in your own head, that is so weird, dude.
Yeah, very. Hey, Melissa, thank you very much for asking your question and for opening up to us on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for your help. I really appreciate it, too.
And will you promise to follow up with us and... like, let us know how everything's going and what progress you've made.
Sure.
Yeah? All right, cool. We'd love that.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So last week, we ended by saying we were going to carry over a question. So we have to get to that question now.
Right. And that question was, I've been thinking about this all week, from David Capiteo. Out of the three of you, so myself, Roz, you, Mocha, and you, dammit, Maury, who do you think partied harder in their prime?
Okay. I'm going to take the vote for myself on this one.
I don't think so. When he said partied harder, are we talking like nights of the week that you go out and how long you are out those nights? Nights where you get like completely wasted? Like what are we?
I think that when we have to establish boundaries here.
Okay.
So I would say partied harder to me, somebody who parties hard is when things the night get so out of control.
Yes.
That they don't resemble any sort of normal behavior.
So
meaning,
it's not the amount of days you go out, it's but when you do go out.
When you like who partied harder? Like I will throw something out there. Okay. Have you ever gone out to just drink at a bar?
Yes.
And then come to in the basement of an art gallery on Queen Street in the middle of an orgy?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Okay, so we can establish Roz partied the hardest. Hold on. Okay, I'm not even going to try to
right.
throw out why I think I'm the one that partied hard, okay?
Okay,
I'll just say it was like every week. It was like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights out drinking, getting wild, getting crazy, just right. like living that club life, okay?
Yes.
But I need to know the story of how you ended up at a bar at the beginning of the night, woke up at the end of the night at some art gallery in the middle of an orgy.
In the basement. Yeah, I don't know is the answer. Oh. So this goes to say when I partied hard was I don't know how A became B. Like I don't recall how it all went down. You just hook up with a new group of people and you go to one after hours.
See,
and then you hook up with a new group
I mean,
of people.
It's a fun story, but I think you're disqualified because you should know what happened to know
no,
if you partied hard.
I don't
hard.
Think so.
No.
That's not partying. I mean, you could have just been really calm and somebody slipped you something.
No. Nobody slipped me something. I was a fully willing participant, but there was just so much alcohol. Like when you ask me, how did I get there? When I say, I don't know, it's not that I don't remember, but you're with a group of people and you're just following the pack. And then the next thing you know, you walk through one last door of the night, you go down a set of dark stairs, which you've done five times throughout the evening. You're sitting there hanging out. It's super late, 4 o'clock in the morning. You pass out for a second. When you come to, there's an orgy happening.
Wait, I have a very important question.
Yes.
Were you a participant?
No, there were a few of us were not participants.
See?
Oh, okay.
It would have been cooler if you were.
Like if I was.
Yeah, then I would have been.
Let me tell you about this other time, Maury.
I'm joking.
See,
my only thing I have for voting for myself is that there was glitter involved.
That's not
hard. Peach schnapps was involved.
You
like,
think
just
that's partying hard?
That sounds like a Friday night at a retirement home.
Yeah.
At 7 p.m.
You know what that is? Grade 8 grad. Like you partied like grade 8 grad.
Yeah. Sure, but a lot of the time, like I was all, shirtless.
Oh man, I would get myself into some awful, awful, awful situations. Like,
yeah, but were you ever out when the sun came up?
Yeah, many times.
Yeah, a ton.
Yeah.
That's another vote as to why you think you partied harder?
Getting home when the sun's coming up.
God, dude.
Anybody ever try to sell you a gun at a party?
No.
Okay, there we go. I got that one too.
Roz wins.
Wow.
Roz wins. Okay. Arb Chi asks, do you go to bed with socks on or off? And has this been an issue when sharing a bed? I assume this person who's asking the question either is the person wearing the socks trying to wear the socks in bed or is with somebody who is trying to wear the socks in bed.
Before we get to Maury's fight with socks in the house, Mocha, do you exclusively socks on or exclusively socks off, or does it even matter to you?
I only sleep with socks off.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. Like there was one day last week I crawled into bed, completely forgot to take my socks off.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me. Like it didn't ruin my night of sleeping.
For me, it's completely interchangeable. Some nights I sleep with socks on because I forget. Some nights I don't. Like I don't have that thing where oh my God, I can't sleep in socks.
Yeah.
Where Maury at home,
I have to sleep in socks.
Matthew doesn't
like my feet, so now I sleep with winter socks on all the time. Plus, also, I cream my feet at night, so I have to put the sock over the
cream.
Can
you just say you put cream on your feet at night instead of saying that you cream your feet at night?
God, dude, you're so weird, man. Okay, let's see here. Glendy says, how would you reconnect with an old friend that you were very close with? I want to reach out, but feel like if they wanted to have me back in their life, they would have already reached out first. Mm. At what point do you just say, screw it, move on without that person?
I wonder how long it's been.
Yeah.
I mean, the time is the important issue here. If too much time has passed. I mean, I reconnected on Facebook with so many friends that I lost contact with over the years.
No, but when you say you reconnected, did you just like hit them up and say hi and then maybe they replied back and said hi? Or are you hitting them up saying, hey, let's get together, and you're going out with these people?
See, there was a friend I had way back in the day who, when I told I was gay, he then wanted nothing to do with me.
Mm.
But for some weird reason, I friended him on Facebook a few years ago because I felt the need to just try and show him how great my life is in pictures, just so he knows what he was missing out on. So, I mean, that's, in my opinion, reconnecting.
No, reconnecting is bringing somebody from your past back into your life on a regular basis.
This day and age, is reconnecting not just reconnecting by likes?
Nope. No.
You know, I find that in life, you grow as a person, you change as a person, your life takes different turns, and sometimes through that you lose connection with people. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You don't always have to have people in your life who have been there years and years and years ago.
It'll never be the same. I truly believe it'll never be the same as it used to be.
Sure.
No, I don't think, because if you had a great friendship, when time passes, things can't be that way again.
Yeah, there's a couple things here. Maybe they're the one that's sitting around waiting for you to make the first move. That always happens as well. But also, there's a part of this, which is maybe they don't want you in their life.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, maybe that's the case. There's a reason. I had great friends, amazing friends, friends that you would wake up at an orgy with.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't talk to them anymore.
Yeah.
And they were lifelong friends.
Sure.
And at the time, and we don't really speak anymore. And this all happened, like, not when we were younger, when, you know, we sort of stopped talking in our 30s.
Yeah.
You know, which is a real,
it happens,
it's a late time in life to sort of break up with friends, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or grow apart or whatever it was. But that's a tough one. I don't know. Maybe it's you. What is Maury's story? I always hear him talk about random things about his childhood, but never get the full picture. And then somebody else asks, reply to that. Yes. What's the story with Maury's mom?
Oh,
is he open to discussing it?
Are you okay talking about that?
Yeah.
We don't have to, Maury.
No, I have no, I mean, I know that. See, I have my new mom now, Donna.
Yeah.
But my original mom.
Who's Donna? You got to explain who Donna is.
Donna's my dad's new wife for 15 years.
Your stepmother.
Yes.
Who you were already grown when they hooked up.
That's 1,000% right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So she's your stepmother.
Stop saying new. They've been married for 15 years.
Yeah.
She's your stepmom.
Yeah. So Donna's your stepmother.
I know, but I treat life like a play. Playing the role of Maury's mom is.
Right. But Donna's your stepmother, but Donna wasn't in your life when you were a young child.
No, for the longest time, it was just my dad and I.
Okay.
I mean, those were cool times when he would take me to singles parties and stuff like that. And we learned from each other because he was 22 when he had me.
Right.
And I know I was there at 2 years old, but I'm way too young to remember.
Yeah.
But I mean, my birth mom, Wendy, she left when I was 2 years old, and my dad then moved in. We lived in Kensington Market with my legal guardian, Susie, who was the one that raised me and, you know, showed my dad what life is all about and responsibility and stuff like that.
You did have a female sort of mother figure in your life, and that was Susie.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, because your mom left when you were how old?
When I was two.
When you were
two. She moved to Calgary.
Did your father, did Frank, your dad, or your Aunt Susie ever, as you grew older, tell you anything about your mom, your birth mom?
So Susie tells me stuff all the time. My dad won't. So Susie, in confidence, will tell me everything.
Right. Yeah.
With the knowing that, you know, your dad's going to be upset that I'm telling you this.
Sure.
But you're a 40-year-old man. You should know what happened
in life.
Oh,
so up to now, she still tells you.
Because there are things that need to be corrected. I bumped into this guy claiming to be my cousin who said that he was in the room when my dad and mom split up. And Susie saying there was no room.
Right.
She just left.
Right.
You know, and then my grandmother once, who's, I'm still very close with my grandmother, who is my birth mom's mom. I'm still close with her.
Right.
And she once gave me a bag full of greeting cards that she saved over the years for birthdays and stuff. And I rummaged through them. There was no money.
Right.
I thought there would be.
Jesus, man.
We're trying to have a moment here, bro. Come on.
But the funny thing is, Matthew is Facebook friends with my real mom.
What?
I am not allowed to be. So,
right.
Wait, does Matthew and your real mom, do they message each other or write
She'll comment on photos and stuff.
Yeah.
And I have a half sister. Because when my mom left and remarried or whatever, there was she had another child.
Has your mom ever tried to reach out to you?
All the time.
And?
It's funny, like, if you go get my Facebook messages on June 10th, my birthday, it's the same message every year. Happy birthday, love mom. Happy birthday, mom.
Oh.
I find it a little weird that you had no relationship with me and she says mom.
I was just going to say that. So she left when you were two. And how do you feel when she signs off a message that you might get with her saying mom?
I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you are legit somebody's mom, but when you've had zero relationship, I think you kind of lost that badge.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know you.
Don't you kind of know why she left? Do I want to know that? Or does it not matter at this point?
I don't know how you leave
somebody at two. I don't know.
Well, they were quite young. I'm thrilled that she decided to leave me with my dad.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can't imagine growing up in Calgary, no offense.
Right.
I know. That's where she lives.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know, but still, you know, it's kind of like, it's one of those things where, you know, she leaves a kid who's two because she's too young or whatever the reasons are. And maybe you would think that maybe she just doesn't want to be a mom and she doesn't want to be tied down. But then when you find out that she just went and did it all again and had another kid, but has lived with that kid's whole life. And like, why not you?
I know. But all I ever think is, you know, look at what you could have had. Like, you missed out on this great life.
You do the thing with your mom. Look at what you're missing. Yeah. Like what you do with an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, look what you missed.
You could have had all this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, Maury, today's your lucky day. On this piece of paper, I have your mother's phone number. And we are going to call her.
Really?
I'm just playing.
Oh my God. My heart.
I was just about to run over and hug Maury.
I was like, I do not need a Dr. Phil moment right now.
Oh my God. I had to bring the tension in the room, guys.
Yeah, and
holy geez, that you got me good there.
I don't know if we've ever talked about that before. I don't even know if I know that full story, Maury.
I had no idea, dude. Thank you for sharing that, though, Maury.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Here, I'll answer this question to Steven because he asked specifically to me.
Yeah.
Do you find it rude when people say hi or want to play with your dog, Tig, but barely acknowledge you? I live in a condo and I see this a lot. I'm guilty of doing it myself. And since we've had our dog almost 6 years now,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't bother me at all. People will come up or walk by us and the three questions they ask, boy or girl, name, and can I pet your dog?
Right.
And then that's it. The interaction is like maybe 20 seconds, and then you move on. I think it's fine.
I got in trouble for trying to pet somebody's dog the other day at a store.
Really?
By the owner?
By the owner, because I just reached out as the dog was passing by because I was sitting down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the person was like, you know, you should really ask first. And I was like, you're so right. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
Because I've started a new Instagram account, not my puppy.
What were you doing sitting in a store?
I was waiting for Matthew to finish trying on clothes.
Oh, that kind of store. I was thinking like the grocery store.
Yeah, like you just sitting there like a weirdo?
Yeah.
Well, I just like if he's trying on something or whatever, I like to just sit. Yeah, okay, so the dog walked by. And I wanted to just let the dog lick my hand and the owner was quite upset by that. So.
Right.
I wanted to take a picture with the dog, but
you got to ask permission. Because the thing is that owner may be saying you need to ask permission, not because they think that you're some weirdo or creep, but maybe that dog has anxiety or maybe that dog's not okay with strangers petting it. Maybe that dog would freak out and potentially bite you, right? You always have to ask permission.
Maury started to talk about it, so I'll let him finish. Maury, tell Mocha about your brilliant Instagram account.
Because my husband won't let me get a dog just yet, so I started an Instagram account that where I take pictures with other people's dogs.
Okay.
In hopes that maybe he'll eventually just give in by...
And what's the Instagram account?
Not my doggy.
Right.
Not my doggy.
Not my...
I don't even follow that account. I just want it to just grow on its own. Like, Maury doesn't follow that one.
Right, I gotcha. But aren't you... Isn't it pictures of you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just thought it'd be
weird if
I followed
me. 9 photos on here.
Yeah.
How many followers?
101.
Oh, there you go. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's like a kid in grade 7.
Oh man, some of these dogs are stressed next to you, bro.
Everybody in your class and a couple of kids from camp.
Yeah.
Your grandma, grandpa. Not your mom, though.
No.
We've established that.
No love.
Well, guess what, Maury? Today is your lucky day. We're going to call your mom.
No.
All right. Next? We got time for more.
Yeah, we do? Okay, cool.
Can I ask one?
Sure.
That's on here from Adrian. Why do men have nipples?
Oh, why do men have nipples?
I think I know the reason.
Okay, go for it.
It's because when you're in the womb and you've not been assigned boy or girl status, everybody gets nipples just because you're just growing at that point before you get your down belows.
Mm-hmm. Your down belows. Man, so every now and then, Maury, you can tell that you didn't have a mother. It's stuff like that. It's stuff like that that you know that you were raised by a man. You know, you're the women with their with the down belows. You know, dads can't say vagina, right?
Oh my God!
So why do men have nipples?
Because everybody is grown with nipples before they're assigned man or women status, right? So
right,
you
status,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
You just
I got
have
you.
Nipples before you get your down belows, and
right.
then you already have your nipples. So there you go.
Wishes that make sense. Inc. wants to know, do you guys still give greeting cards? If not, why? If yes, what makes you still give one? Oof. I've always given cards to people, whether it's for birthday or Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still buy cards. I like it. I think it's nice.
I never do, and Catherine always rides me for it.
Really?
Because for her, the card is still the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always neglect the card, even when I'm buying gifts, something for you or whatever. The card is just an afterthought for me.
You still have yet to give me one from last Christmas.
Because I forgot to give it to Maury, and then it went back in with the Christmas decorations, and I packed it up.
Yeah.
So I was looking. Because you know when you have the stack of cards at the end of the day, yeah. Right? Everything just sort of went back in the box, and I don't know where that box is now. So I always forget, but I do like getting cards. I enjoy the sentiment and the thought behind a card, and especially a card from Maury. Like, I much prefer a card from Maury than I do a wrapped up DVD that someone gave him for free that he tries to pawn off as a gift.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah. I will always like the card. I don't need the beer t-shirt and... You know,
the cozy
and the book that somebody gave you after we interviewed them on the show.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't need that, but the card is always nice.
Matthew and I, for Christmas, we do custom Christmas cards every year.
Yeah.
Where we, you know, take a picture or get a sketch drawn or whatever, but we do custom cards every year.
Right. You guys do a lot of stuff you waste money on like that, though.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Like for Halloween, you guys dress up just for a picture.
Oh, he doesn't know this yet, yeah.
Just for a picture, and then you always just take the costumes off and just go about your lives.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Like, you don't even go out. You don't even go to a party.
No, just for the photo.
So weird.
Patricia has probably one of my favorite questions.
Okay.
If you had to choose a meal for dinner that you would have to eat for an entire year every night, what would it be?
Okay. I take a baked potato, and I spread it all open.
Yeah.
And I put olive oil on it and salt and pepper on it.
Uh-huh.
In a big metal bowl that I have at home.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I take lettuce.
Yeah.
Like salad. And I put the salad on top of the baked potato.
Okay.
And then I sprinkle a little oil and vinegar on top of that. Mm-hmm. Then I take feta cheese and I crumble up feta cheese on top of that.
Yeah.
Then I take a full chicken breast and slice it up and throw that on top of the salad. So it goes hot, cold, hot. And I eat it out of one big giant silver bowl that burns my lap when it sits there. Huge, like the mixing bowl that I make this in. And if I had to eat something every night, because to me that hits everything I love.
Oh, sure.
Right? I get the starchiness of the potato. I get the salad, which I love, and chicken, which is my favorite meat, all in one just sort of bowl with cheese. So I think that if I had to eat one thing every night, that's what it would be.
Damn
it,
Maury?
I'm torn between truffle mac and cheese, because I adore that, or my dad's turkey.
Right.
Really? Your dad's turkey?
My dad makes I love my dad's turkey.
Like like turkey dinner?
Like a full turkey.
Oh man, you would be sleepy.
Yeah. More sleepy than you are now. And you're pretty sleepy every day.
Oh, every day. What would you eat? Is this eating this every day for what, a year?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Every single day for 1 year, it would be spaghetti with meatballs in a meat sauce.
Oh, good for you.
And a side of veal.
Oh, good for you.
Veal cutlets.
I'm surprised nobody said hamburgers or pizza.
Yeah, hamburgers or pizza. God, you know what I could do, though? I could eat chicken wings every single night of the week.
Yeah, but you'd get tired after the fifth day.
Oh, hell no.
No way. Chicken wings?
Chicken wings.
Nope. I don't think I would ever get sick of chicken wings.
Microwave hot dogs.
Yeah, microwave hot dogs are good, too, though. But you can't do it for a full year.
No.
You can't. You need something else. You need flavor. You need pepper. You need salt. You need cheese. You need fat. You need all the things that hit your tongue and just explode.
Oh, I love that sound.
It's not a sound. It's not a sound. Never said a sound. Was talking about flavor.
God,
was
dude.
Not talking about something that actually hits your tongue and explodes.
You are so weird. And on that note, we come to the end of episode 51 of the Roz and Mocha Show podcast. All right. So every Wednesday, we post at Kiss925 on Instagram a picture that reads, Ask Roz and Mocha. Feel free to ask anything that you want, and we'll try to pick somebody from that week to join us on the podcast.
We never got to what is our weird talents.
Okay. We'll do that next week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com
or on the Kiss 92.5 app.